This is PFW in progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I had it.
For now, anyway.
Hex twice. I want some butt.
PFW in progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch here. The boys will be here momentarily. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Probably getting their fish and chips and bangers ready for London. Because that was announced yesterday. The New England Patriots are going to be playing in London in 2009. October 25th, to be exact, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Wembley Stadium. And I imagine we'll be hearing a lot from our friends over the pond, over across the pond there on today's show. And leading up to that game, it's going to be exciting. So that's going to be good, I think. It's a lot closer trip for the Patriots than going to China, that's for sure. And it's a game that counts, which makes it even more fun. So we'll be talking about that announcement. And, of course, we have to talk about the game on Sunday. They got waxed, folks. They got beat by a better team. Pittsburgh's defense is for real. And Patriots really didn't have an answer for that in the second half. And on the other hand, the Patriots' defense probably didn't play as bad as 33 points says they did. They certainly, held up in the red zone a little bit better than they've been doing in the past. But, boy, when the Steelers put on the pressure, Matt Castle and the offense really didn't have an answer for that in the second half. And, you know, weather was a factor. There's no doubt about it. But it was a factor for both teams. And, you know, if you're Randy Moss and you have that wide open in the end zone and the ball's right in your breadbasket, I don't care what the weather is. I don't care if it's a hurricane. You got to catch that ball. So
I agree.
Hey, Paul's here. Andy's here.
BU Hall of Famer Paul Perillo, as I read in my Crest.
Oh, Paul is mad at me.
I'm not happy.
Paul is mad at me.
Well, it is like factually incorrect too, right?
It is also factually incorrect in the
beyond just the embarrassment, and he didn't really want it out there. And
now, why are you embarrassed?
Because I'm a little embarrassed.
Well, what, Paul?
It says he's a Hall of Famer, and I feel like what if I don't know. One of the coaches had ties there, and he was in the real Hall of Fame. And Paul, I didn't know you were in. And then you got to say, "Wow, I'm in the baseball Hall of Fame."
I've already told the several people that have emailed me this morning.
Fred screwed that up.
No, you don't think I did it on purpose?
Now he's playing like practical jokes in the company-wide HR newsletter.
I sent HR the announcement that Paul was in the BU Sports Hall of Fame. And they put it in this month's company newsletter, which I thought was great.
It was also weird. Like, it was by itself. It's not like it was in, like, a ... notebook of items.
Andy.
It was set off to the side.
Fred doesn't seem to understand why I'm upset about it. Can I just ask you your quick impression when you see an item like that from someone that you don't know that appears in a newsletter?
Send it to James so he can post it on PFW and Progress.
Thank you.
Where do you think he got that? What do you think, like, a newsletter would get something like that?
Self-promotion?
Yes. Isn't that the automatic assumption you would make?
And I'd roll my eyes.
Right. Which is why I said to Fred, don't you think people are going to now think that I sent that
Paul,
to HR?
Anyone that knows you knows that you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but the point is, Fred, there's
but only 10% of the people that read it know him.
And there are hundreds of people that work here, and very few of them really know me personally.
Well, one of the reasons I did it was because I knew you would have this reaction. You'd be upset. That's what makes it funny.
Listen to the cackling hyena in the other room.
That is kind of funny.
I'm having issues with my headphones.
Oh. What do you got there? D'Angelo's sub?
Steak and cheese, baby.
Wow.
Would you already eat?
No, they didn't give me one.
What? You didn't order?
Nah, they got me one. I wolfed it down already.
It down? Jesus, was it a large?
A
I got an Italian.
You sucked down an Italian?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So just before you came, of course, I mentioned that the Patriots have been announced that they're playing in London in 2009. You guys weren't negative about that. I was surprised. I figured you'd be all pissy about
that. Would I be pissy?
You don't like going any further than 10 miles from your house.
But it's no different than going to the West Coast, and instead I get to see a new country and get any... Well, I prefer all the games are played out in this field, but understanding that there are road trips...
Eight at home, eight on the road.
It's exciting.
A six-hour flight to get to London is better than going to Oakland.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we get to experience London, and you get to pay me for it.
Yeah, I don't feel like my life would be in jeopardy, number
one. People there speak your language.
In London, I don't feel my life would be in jeopardy as I would in China.
Why would your life be in jeopardy?
And it won't take me a day to get there.
I don't know, because it's a communist country that has the number three dictator on the planet.
Well,
oh, aside from that.
It's going to be fun, aside from what the pale.
No disrespect.
And I get to say a pile of sticks, and it's a word that I can use over there.
Right. So we'll talk about that, but I meant...
We did a good job of keeping that one under wraps, didn't we?
Yeah, we've known that for a while.
Yeah.
We didn't let that leak out, because we've been fired.
Yeah.
We would have been in trouble.
In light of recent events.
As much as we wanted to let people know, we couldn't.
Right.
But this game.
Can we just talk about that for 1 second?
What?
Or do you want to wait?
Go ahead. What do you mean?
I thought there were some interesting comments from the players in reaction to the announcement, particularly Mike Vrabel, who is either still really cranky after the loss or just is cranky in general and said, I'm thinking about Seattle. I don't give a expletive about London. Mm-hmm. And Logan Mankin said, you know, if we have to go, I guess we'll go. I don't really want to go. And then Vrabel also said, if I'm on this team next year, and anyone who's on this team, they'll have to go. I thought they were... Normally you expect the players here to just kind of say, well, if Mr. Kraft's for it, we're for it. There wasn't quite that powerful.
Yeah, I just, you know...
Now, do you put that all on the loss that they're coming off a very...
I think it's a combination of loss. I think it's a combination of guys that are close to the union like Vrabel is. He's a team rep. There's a little bit of, you know, starting to... position themselves for an upcoming battle. And
he's not only a rep, he's on the board of directors or the board of whatever.
You know, so anything that's done, you know, quote unquote, to help the league and the owners, you're going to say, well, what's in it for us at this point?
That
so
the council, right?
Money.
Yeah.
You get a percentage of the money.
Well,
that's how I look at it.
I know, but it's
I got to tell you, some of those guys are really bright, but they don't think these things through sometimes. And there was a big story that Vrabel was the subject of maybe about 3 weeks ago, that he said some things that were very short-sighted for a guy that
might have
been
intelligence. 2 weeks ago.
That reason? Just very short-sighted things that he's not really understanding. You know, talking about Patriot Place, for example, in relation to the revenues, that has nothing to do with it. And he, you know, and Mike's a pretty smart guy. I think he knows that, and I do think there's an element of negotiation in there that he's kind of throwing things out.
Right.
But I think when you talk in those kinds of terms, even when you're trying to make a bigger point, I think you make yourself look
bad. And one of the things they make a mistake of is they look at an owner and say, oh, he's doing well, so what's he got to worry about? And I'll give you an example. Ted Turner, for example, he owns CNN. Okay.
It's a great example.
And he also owned the Atlanta Braves. Now, there was a time when CNN was about to go bankrupt. Okay. If that happened, that doesn't mean that that it would hurt the Atlanta Braves. They're completely separate operations. Now, CNN right now is making money hand over fist. If he still owned Atlanta, that wouldn't mean that Atlanta's making more money than, you know, they're separate entities, they're separate operation. Legally, they're separate. You know, if one goes under, it doesn't take the other with it, and it's set up that way. You know, and that goes also for an owner's personal finances, too. You know, an owner is stupid if he's paying these bonuses out of his pocket. You know, that's not good business. You know, people might think, oh, look, he's so generous and he wants to do anything to win. But it's bad business. It's stupid to mix your personal finances with your business finances. Only dumb owners do that.
Right.
You know, so it is, you know, like Paul said, for Vrabel to look at Patriot Place and say, oh, that's because of the Patriots. Well, you know, Kraft has a lot of other things going on, too. And if Patriot Place does well, it doesn't mean the Patriots financially or the league is doing well and vice versa. So,
presented by Raytheon.
Right.
Exactly. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
You just throw out Raytheon as often as possible.
Right. That's okay. So it gets frustrating too when you have those types of views. You know that when they sit down, if people are coming to the table with that type of mentality, it's just not going to go well.
Right. But it's what we're going to deal with for the next foreseeable future as they go through this labor uncertainty.
Look, as much as all these owners are hardline capitalists and, all that stuff, the NFL is the socialist model in sports. You know, it's all spread the wealth. It's all the lowest makes the same as the highest. And look, the more each team makes, the more each player makes because the cap goes up. They get 60% of whatever that number is.
Right.
So it just grows as the league grows. So it helps everyone to internationalize the sport. So I'll that's enough of that,
yes.
that topic.
Well said.
All right. Anyway, this game. Ooh. I let it off by just saying, hey, and you said it before, this was a bellwether game. This was a gauge to see how the Patriots are at this point in the season against one of the AFC elite. And they didn't pass the test.
Well, see, it's funny. They didn't. They got killed. But in the first half, I kind of thought they were in a dogfight like we expected. I think we all predicted it was going to come down to some plays in the second half and, it might unfold. Paul thought the Steelers would win. I thought the Patriots might take it. But it just unraveled so quickly and snowballed. And even with, as you said, the defense making some stops, forcing some field goals, not even giving in, it still got out of hand because when you turn the ball over five straight times,
I look at it the other way. If this game had been reversed and exactly the same thing happened to Pittsburgh, I'd be saying right now, Pittsburgh's not as good as people said they were or they think they are.
No question.
So I'd be saying the same thing.
Yeah, and sometimes we confuse turnovers with, bad play, just strictly bad play
or bad luck
by the team that committed the turnovers. Well, the kickoff obviously was an enormously self-inflicted wound.
Right.
Slater's play was I think
cut ties with Matthew Slater for all fans who listen to this program.
Probably the key play of the game. Okay, it allowed the Steelers to get a 2-score lead. It was huge. Okay, I'm not dismissing it, but from that point on, the mistakes were caused.
Right.
Lawrence Timmons' interception that's the zone blitz. That's what it does to quarterbacks.
But the strip sacks, the pressure that he was he got sacked four times in the second half. He was constantly looking for guys. I thought even the maligned Steelers secondary, I thought a couple of those sacks were coverage type sacks where he had time initially, didn't find anybody, and then ended up having to eat the ball. And Castle also looked like a guy, as we talked about going into the week. He looked like a guy who hadn't seen that kind of pressure. The Mike Singletary, we knew we were capable of applying the kind of pressure that had not been seen before. Matt Castle looked like a quarterback who hadn't seen that kind of pressure before.
And combined the physical pressure.
That's no slam on him. He hasn't.
Combined the physical pressure with the mental pressure of it was snowballing out of control. So now
I got to make a play. I got to make
scrambling.
A play.
It's kind of all coming off the wheels, and he's at the front of that. But that said, you mentioned the Moss drop.
There was a lot of points left on the field by both teams, I thought.
But I get back to his supposed playmakers, Matt Castle I'm talking about, aren't coming through. No. Matt Light is supposed to be an all-pro left tackle. And even if he's not, then the coaches are supposed to see Matt Light can't win this matchup and we need to do something to help Matt Light. Randy Moss is supposed to make those plays, not just the one in the end zone, but Castle scrambles, buys a little time, lobs up a nice pass.
Beautiful pass, right there.
I mean, that's the kind of if that play is completed and the game turns out differently, you're pointing to that as yet another example of why Matt Castle's evolving into a starting quarterback. But again, Moss can't make the play for him. So I still think while Castle was clearly a part of the problem with the turnovers, his other playmakers are certainly not rallying and doing more than their share to help him out.
No, I mean, it was Castle's worst game this year, but...
But strip sacks are strip sacks.
But strip sacks, it wasn't, god-awful to the fact where now you've lost all the confidence that you've gained in him.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Against the best defense in football.
Right, absolutely not. You've got to look at the rest of this team. Look at the offensive line overall. Not just letting in, Harrison, but look at the way they were gashing the Patriots' defense in the second half, running the ball. Willie Parker, who didn't play all the... After the first set of downs, was out for some reason, comes back in, starts gashing him. Mawelde Moore gashing him in the second half. You know, you just that's why they had to have those red zone stops, because they were marching right down the field.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I would say defensively that was a little disappointing to me was the way in the second half Pittsburgh was able to do what they do.
Right.
You know, they were able to pile up the carries and run the ball. Was it 166 yards, something like that? That's too many.
You know,
and especially it was the way they got them. You know, all right, now Pittsburgh's got a two-score lead. They can kind of be conservative, and the Patriots allowed them to be conservative by, like you said, Fred, letting them march into field goal range, and they didn't need touchdowns at that point. They just needed to run clock.
One thing I would say is just like the injuries, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Sure.
Mike Wright was out there.
Ty Warren again.
Yep, Ty Warren out.
Pierre Woods was out by that point, so they had Gary Guyton on the field more. They were down to their fourth outside linebacker.
That's 0-3 without Ty Warren off the top of my head for the last three games that I can remember that he didn't play.
Yeah. He's
never won anything without Ty Warren.
Well, maybe it is just too much to overcome as far as injuries on
Welker,
the defensive side.
We should
of the
mention,
ball.
You know, any hopes of a comeback, I turned to Paul. You know, it was a last-ditch effort at that point anyway, but I said if Wes Welker doesn't come back on the field, I mean, he's such a key part of the offense, and if they're going to spread it out and go 2 minute and try to come back and he's not on the field, you got no chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are starting to pile up, and I don't know whether Welker will miss any time or not after that hit, but they're getting down to third, fourth, fifth guys at a lot of positions.
Yeah. So it was tough, and like I said, you know, if this had been the other way around, we'd be saying, yeah, that team stuck with the Patriots, but, you know, Patriots are the better team, and by the second half, they made the adjustments and wore them out, and the better, you got to look at it that way. The Pittsburgh is a better team this year.
Well,
right
I'll
now.
Give you a hypothetical.
With what the Patriots have out in the field, Pittsburgh's a better team.
Freddie, I'll give you a hypothetical. Last year's Pittsburgh game, right around the same time, right here in Foxborough, 17-13 at the half.
Yep.
For all the Patriots' dominance, people forget it was a 17-13 game at the half. And what happened? The Patriots blew their doors off in the second half and won 34-13. No one was saying, well, Pittsburgh's a pretty good team. They hung with them for a half.
Right.
No. The Patriots embarrassed them.
Right.
That's the aftermath of that game, and they were right.
Right. So it's tough to find any silver linings in this one, except Kevin Faulk,
still just, diminishing.
Yeah. Just as steady.
They're an embarrassment.
Just as steady a football player as you could have. I mean, he just knows how to play football.
The longest run against the Steelers this year. The Patriots put up the most yards, thanks mostly to his 73 or 78 yards. Back-to-back games over 100 yards. He's on pace for his first 1,000-yard combined season since 2003 or 2. That's how I know I was really in trouble with that dumb thing that I said, is when all these notes involving Kevin Faulk involve first time since 5 years ago, first time since 6 years ago. He, team MVP, Kevin Faulk.
And, you know, for what it's worth.
PFW?
Yeah, postseason. I'm voting now. Kevin Faulk. I don't care what happens in the last 4 weeks.
Well, that was the feature I wrote on him a couple of weeks ago, but I couldn't get him to really talk about himself at all. Unfortunately, I had to go to all his teammates to say how good he was.
What the fuck?
I agree.
He's had a great year.
If we can, you know, bestow. Did you see the Ask PFW? Somebody said now that Troy Brown is retired, that we should make Mr. Patriot a current thing, kind of like a captaincy.
Who's the current Mr. Patriot?
Current Mr. Patriot.
Okay.
Kevin
All right,
Faulk.
I got that.
We'll move that
good.
Along. It'll be like the C in baseball. You pass it along.
We mentioned it, and, you know, I think it's worthy of some mention again that in the red zone, the coverage was better. I think Roethlisberger had time, and he just couldn't find some open receivers on a few instances. And I think that's that's something to say, okay, well, you know, that's good. So for what that's worth. Obviously, in a 33-10 loss, it's nothing to hang your hat on, but
and
at
other
it's
times,
somewhat encouraging.
The coverage was terrible.
Del
Bovio
was
chasing.
They can't do anything.
The Steelers also had drops. Antonio Holmes dropped a big play. Nate Washington dropped a big play.
No, in the middle of the field, they had the same problems they've been having. Third and 10, third and 12, third and 16. They can't get off the field.
They cannot get off the field on third down.
You know?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, that makes sense. It's not like it's illogical. You have a bad secondary. Third down is generally a passing down, and you give up yards. You're soft in the middle of the field.
I think
you're soft
they're knocking
in the secondary.
On the door for 45% conversion rates for the season. That's not playoff football.
And we should probably flip to the other side. They're not converting on third down. They went 1 of 13,
on
I
this,
believe.
In this game.
A late one.
It's terrible.
And I've said it to Paul. I know it didn't matter because you were putting up 511 yards and 500. They haven't converted on third down for three straight weeks, and it didn't matter. But you know, it's kind of a growing issue that might maybe got glossed over just a hair by the 500 yards. And that's if you don't
well, they,
if you don't win
have
third
any.
Right. Yeah. If you don't win third down, you're not going to win. And it's how you stay on the field. It's how you get off the field. It's how drives are made and broken. And I heard Richard Seymour yesterday talking on WEEI, and I guess it was probably on our website as well, right, simulcast. And they asked him about third down, and he very sort of defensively said, I don't know, I'm not on the field.
Right.
And then they asked him about their more kind of, and he said, it's most important down in football, and I've always thought you should have your best players on the field, but I don't coach, I just play, or along those
That's
lines.
That's not good.
No.
You know, with him saying that, I mean, there's a lot to be read between the lines when he says things like that.
Right.
Well, what was the mood after the game when you know the
players
that you
talked
to? The players you talked to on Sunday, because I went to the Pittsburgh locker room.
Well, first of all, some guys ran for the hills, as Mike Reese pointed out after the tough loss.
See, I don't like that.
I liked that he wrote that in his story, giving Slater credit for answering questions after his mistake, and some other guys, more experienced, more proven, more talented guys, running for the hills. I would say the mood was a little bit, I kind of agree with Fred said upstairs, they've been chopped down a little bit. I think that it was an awakening, a realization, whatever you want to call it, that we're not a championship football team. We might compete and we might
give it our best. That's what I was getting at.
And that's totally just reading, you know, looks, tones, between the lines. I mean, nobody said, you know, we're done, we can't make it. But that's just, the face-to-face reading of people, and I did get that impression.
I want to talk about Slater in a minute, but
we should talk for.
As far as this leaves the Patriots, this loss, obviously, if the season ended right now, as far as tiebreakers and everything, they would not make wild card.
Not even tiebreakers. Now they're out.
They'd be out. They are the seventh team, but that doesn't get you in.
Right.
You know.
No, it doesn't, Fred.
So
unless Mr. Kraft revisits that rule.
Right. Remember, he tried to do that a few years back.
So they obviously need to win out, and they need some help. I read somewhere today that if Miami wins out, they actually win the AFC East, believe it or not.
Yeah. I read that that you had mentioned to me, and that's a possibility.
Yeah.
They don't have a particularly daunting
schedule. I mean,
they have
to beat the Jets in order to do it.
Yeah.
But
obviously, the flip side of that is if the Jets win out, they win the division too. And if the Jets don't lose to Buffalo or Miami, but only lose one other game, then they beat the Patriots out for the division too.
Right.
So it's
long
tough.
Odds. It's no, I won't say long odds, but
the Patriots
it's not
need
an easy road
the Patriots
ahead.
Need Miami to lose to the Jets specifically.
Yeah.
And then the Jets to lose to somebody else, and have or you know Miami to lose to somebody, and then have the you know maybe they beat the Jets or whatever, and create a tie between themselves and the Jets, and then that way it goes to the common opponents, and the Patriots would win that one. That's the one tiebreaker they would own in this whole scenario.
They also need to win.
Yeah,
they need to win games.
First and foremost, they need to win the next four games.
I think you started the whole thing. They need to win the four games and then have help.
It's not something they've proven they can do this
year. Yeah, I mean, to me, I think the least likely out of all the things, I think they'll get some of the help that they need because we just saw Baltimore's schedule came up on ESPN. They play Washington, they play Dallas, they play Pittsburgh, and then they have home against Jacksonville, the last game they probably should win. So there's definitely a chance they could lose two of those games. But right now I feel much more confident that they'll get the help that they need than I do that they'll be able to win all four of these games, even though I think the Patriots will be favored in all four of the games. I think it'll be a tall task to win them all. They haven't won more than two in a row all year.
Right.
So that's where it is as far as the playoffs go. Now with the Slater, being back there, the deep man,
the Slater,
Mike Reese was questioned. The very fact that they had Slater in those conditions. Now, Hobbs had some type of stomach problem on the sideline, so he was out. But, you know, he questioned in the press conference, why in those conditions do you put a rookie
back there
rather than somebody like Kevin Falk or, you know, somebody else that's done it a little bit more?
I kind of agree with Bill. He's your backup. He's done it however many, 18 times this year.
Yeah, I do.
I agree with Bill, too.
Yeah.
That's like questioning why they put Matt Cassel in. When Brady went, because he's your backup. That's his job.
I could argue with Bill that, and I did make this argument. I don't really see what some others see in Matthew Slater, and I could argue that Kevin Falk should be that backup guy, you know, that staggered guy as the returner
short man
all year. But he hasn't been. Now, you've chosen to go with Slater all year, and he's been back there as the secondary return man virtually on every kick, if not every single one.
Right.
So I have no problems with him taking Hobbs' spot because it's raining. I mean, it wasn't really – it was raining. Yeah. It wasn't overly windy. Bill talked about it in his press conference call yesterday. It was wet.
Yeah.
You know, there was some drop balls, no question. I thought the wet had
some
effect.
It was actually colder in the morning than it was that evening.
Yeah,
it warmed up a little bit.
Bad.
You know. We've got to give out the email address. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number, and on the phone is Al Dayton. Al, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Al.
What's up?
I ain't called in a while, but, man, I'd put it like this, man. I ain't watched another game since ours, man. No Monday, the Sunday night game. I don't even know if it was one on or not.
You were just disgusted.
And the Monday night game, I ain't even turned the TV on, man. Put it like this. I'm going to tell you what I did, man. I played my Xbox 360, man. I played Tomb Raider, man. I said, heck yeah.
What game do you play on Xbox?
Tomb Raider, he just
said. Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I'm playing I was playing all three of them, you know.
You ever
new one just come out.
You ever play Call of Duty?
Yeah, that's my favorite. One of my favorite games,
that's
man.
A huge one. My son's all over there.
Yeah, they got the new one, World's End, now.
I know.
Remember that World, the Ed War?
Don't
World
tell him, but
War,
he's
like
getting it for Christmas. Don't tell him.
don't tell him, Noel.
Man, I'm 37, so, you know, I'm still a big kid. But, man, that game was, I couldn't believe it, man.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I'm off work. I'm on a little vacation, man, that I ain't had to listen to my Pittsburgh fans at work.
Al, are you still hopeful?
Yeah, I'm still hopeful, man. The Jets lost. That's the only good thing that happened Sunday.
Yeah.
Here's the way to
look
at
it. That's
the
only good thing that happened Sunday. Jets lost. Now it's still the same way it was last week, but Miami just stepped up, though.
I know.
The way you look at it now from the Patriots side is this team has had a great ability to make sure that one loss is just one loss, and each week is you know, its own entity. And they've proven that they can move on from even bad performances like Sundays and get the job done. So that's how you have to look at it. Is Belichick has been able to overcome losses before. No reason why he can't overcome this one, even though I do admit this was a significant loss. I do think this was one of those measuring stick games, and I think they were well behind
because,
the measuring stick.
You know, again,
game came at the wrong time, man. This game right here came – we put ourselves behind the eight ball early, and this game came at the wrong time. I wish this game was a little further down the way. You know what I mean? Like, he's like the – second to the last or something.
I don't know, Al. I kind of think that if the Patriots had won this game, we'd be saying this game came exactly at the right time because it was like the launching pad for the rest of the season. If the Patriots had won this,
we
would be all like, how can we lose the next four games?
The weather hurt us, too, though.
Well,
the weather wasn't right.
It hurt both teams. I thought they were both
drops. We're more of a passing team. Pittsburgh ain't as much, you know, they don't have the offense. You know, they ain't got the firepower on offense like we got. But they like more of a running team. They got it played into their hands a little more because they got the defense. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So when the weather is bad, the defense
I think people are getting
better.
Lost in those two games that Castle put up and. You know, they suddenly have the Patriots out to be the 1980 San Diego Chargers. Both teams were affected by the weather. Both teams, I thought, dropped touchdown passes. Now, Moss's was striking because it was Randy Moss.
Right.
You know, Nate Washington dropped one. That's kind of what Nate Washington does. Randy Moss doesn't drop that pass.
Right.
That was huge.
Yep.
When we up 10-3 and then he dropped that ball, it would have been like on a 30 or 20-yard line, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, the first one he dropped, right?
First
that,
one,
it would have been down
the
around the 30.
That one took took points away, no question.
Yeah, yep.
And that fumble, man, the turnovers start snowballing, man.
Yeah, but you look at those turnovers; those were Pittsburgh caused turnovers, except for the Slater one. As much as they were bad play, Pittsburgh forced those turnovers.
Of Harrison strip sacks was an incredible play.
Yeah.
He went all the way around Castle. And reached in with his arm to knock the ball out while he wrapped him up with the other arm to make sure he wasn't going to lose the sack.
Right.
That's standout play. Yeah.
It's textbook.
It's a standout play.
Yep. All right, Al.
I was just glad because James.
Yeah, take it easy. Hang in there.
Right.
Hang in.
Y'all made my hopes a little higher now, so I'm good.
Okay.
See, that's what we're here for.
All right.
I needed some therapy, man. That's why I called you.
Okay.
That's what we're here for.
Talk you down.
I was on Tuesdays. All right.
Tuesdays after losses. That's our job.
All right.
It's Patriots therapy.
That's Al Dayton.
That's why we used to suck at our job for so long. They never lost.
Right. Now they lose, and we're doing well.
All
but
right.
Andy finally got to see James Harrison pass his eyeball test. You know, so we had that going for us.
He laid an egg last year. He didn't lay an egg this year. He is a pretty good player.
Yeah, they did to James Harrison what they did to Joey Porter last week.
I'll tell you something, too. He's a small guy.
Well,
he's
stout.
Really,
he's
short.
A little short, compact ball of muscle.
Oh, he's ripped.
Like Stubblefield?
But he's like – what?
Dana Stubblefield. He wasn't that tall, but he was like a –
He's shorter than that.
House.
I mean, he's 6 feet, right?
Yeah.
Harrison is
short.
He has like the Kevin Falk build where it's like a square block.
I mean, he's a lot bigger than Kevin Falk,
but
muscular-wise.
A block.
But yeah, he's really small. I was surprised.
And I think
he
uses it. It seems like he's developing into ducking under and kind of using that small stature like a Freeney might. And there was some talk of that last week. Taking advantage of his build in ways that a guy who's prototypical Jason Taylor length wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
But
those two guys were impressive. We talk about these bookend pass rushes for a lot of teams, and San Diego's one all the time. We talk about Merriman and Phillips, but this was the first time I saw against the Patriots those guys really have, you know, a major impact on a game.
And I wonder if it had to do with what we now I haven't rewatched the game and broken it down, but if it had to do with what we talked about, that adding Woodley and kind of the way they can do it from across, it didn't allow them to do, you know, something to go too overboard and saying we can't let Harrison beat us.
I think there was probably an element of that, but I also think, you know, I just feel like Brady didn't – I don't think the same exact game Brady gets sacked 5 times. I just don't.
Well, early in the game, I mean, even though the Patriots were up early, I think it was Woodley that came in. Kazier just lost him, and Woodley leveled Castle, right?
He got
he was looking around.
And
like,
he gave Kazier a look like, what
gonna
are you
block
doing?
Somebody?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that hurt him because that was one of those where he took the hit and then the ground gave a second hit.
Yeah, that was
when
I said
flying through
the air. The helmet probably hit the ground on the other side.
Yeah.
That was a big hit.
I think that kind of put that in his head that, uh-oh.
But the Steelers were just coming, and the perfect example I would use is Casey Hampton.
Casey Hampton's
after
play.
He got pissed off by the official
penalty.
For the holding.
Right.
Which,
like,
by the way,
it was a terrible call, and I see why he was mad. But then I think it was 2 plays later he ended up with a sack, and it just sort of, to me, magnified that if the Steelers wanted to get there on this night, they were getting there. He wanted it more on that play. Harrison wanted it more. It was almost like the Super Bowl, the whole who wanted it more.
Yeah.
That defense wanted to prove that it was good more than the Patriots.
I thought that was the significant defensive series of the game for Pittsburgh because that they opened the second half. The Patriots have the ball in a tie game, and they stop the first play. Then they throw a ball down the sideline, deep ball down the sideline to Randy Moss, where it was one of those pass interferences that they call. You know, I have no problem with. They call them sometimes. Sometimes they don't. You all right over there?
I
You're
think
gonna
Andy
die?
Has the grip. What the hell
my
are you
God.
Doing over there?
Coughing. I turned my mic off. You don't need to tell everybody.
But we
can
still
hear it.
I've been sick for weeks.
What do you have, consumption?
He's got the whooping cough.
I don't know what that means.
Am I under the consumption that they ain't no more money? I'll tell you that.
Is consumption a real issue?
I think at one time, consumption. That was all these old times of the grip. You know,
the gout.
Well, the gout people
the gout's
still have.
Gout's not a cough, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of these are.
You know, what was it?
I'm assuming I have a cold.
What's the other one? It was named after a woman.
Liz Frank?
Scarlet Fever?
No, I forget.
Liz Frank. Anyway, that possession, they had the pass interference, which was an iffy call. It looked like Moss was holding Taylor's arm, and the referee saw Taylor's arm. It looked like one of those arm bars. That's what they called. I don't think it was a bad call, but I've seen it go uncalled before.
Yeah.
So that gave him like 24, I think it was 24 yards, that penalty. Then 2 plays later, they stuffed a running play, and they call Casey Hampton for holding on a play where it looked like he was doing textbook nose tackle work and just pushing two guys out of the way. Not holding at all.
Oh.
So there's 2 penalties, and now all of a sudden Pittsburgh is in – I mean, the Patriots are in prime scoring territory in Pittsburgh territory, and they come up with a sack, they push him back, and the Patriots ended up having to punt despite two defensive penalties
right.
on the drive. That, to
right.
me, was a telling possession
yep.
For them to have allowed no points on a possession where they had two penalties. And then the Steelers went like 14 plays all the way down the field for a field goal, and you could feel, for the first time, I thought all game, Pittsburgh was in control. I actually thought at halftime, Andy talked about this at the beginning, I thought at halftime not only was it a good street fight, I thought the Patriots got the better of the street fight in the first half.
Yeah. No, they would.
Even though it was 10-10,
I was feeling good. I was a little giddy.
Well, you got, and then you went completely bipolar on us in the second half. You were suicidal in the second half.
No, I was feeling really good. I felt that the Patriots had the game, you know, in control.
Is that why? Because they dangled it in front of you and then just.
Yeah.
I thought they looked better than Pittsburgh in the first half doing the same. I mean, that was 10-10, but I thought they looked better doing the stuff that they did than the Steelers looked doing what
I
they
mean,
did.
I wasn't on an even keel.
I thought they were getting
my
pressure.
My highs were too high and my lows were too low.
Yeah, and maybe it was your fault. I thought they got pressure on Ben, and I thought they made him kind of move around and get rid of the ball in unorthodox fashion at times. I thought there were some drops that helped the Patriots for sure, but not as many drops as the Patriots had. So I was actually feeling pretty good. I thought the Patriots were in pretty good position at halftime. I said that to you, I think, Andy. I said I felt like they were in control. They had like 189 yards or something at halftime.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, geez, they're well on the way to that 300 yards that no one's ever gotten.
And they were running
Pittsburgh.
The ball?
They ran the ball reasonably well the whole game. They did a good job of picking their spots with the running game. And that was probably the lone bright spot offensively.
We should probably, before we get to emails, talk about, because I know we disagree, and everything but Patriots Paul Perillo thinks it was a perfectly clean hit.
Oh, I didn't say that.
And
that's ridiculous. That's one of the more ridiculous ones he's ever done.
That's Andy.
It was definitely a late hit. I didn't say that was perfectly clean.
I thought it was a cheap shot. I'm with Vince Wilfork.
Wilfork should never be allowed to talk about that stuff. And is contractually
Wes
obligated
Welker,
appearance
it was clear,
on WEEI.
The ball was
why do they have to say that?
He says it every time. It makes me
laugh. I think they should say it.
Why?
Because it gives you the reason why they're getting the quotes from Vince Wilfork and no one else is.
Well, should we say? Well, I'm not even going to go there.
No, go there. I want to hear where you were going.
No, you
go
can
ahead.
Go there.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No one listens. It's just us in this room.
Yeah.
I thought Welker clearly had let up.
But can you at least apologize?
If there was
that,
a
I don't
what?
Want anybody thinking I didn't think that was a
no,
a
you said
never
it was a good, clean,
me.
Solid football.
I thought
you're
it was absolutely a penalty.
Oh, he caught him, all right.
It was absolutely a penalty. It was late. It was a penalty, no question.
And if the league wants to define defenseless, they always throw that out there. And I know this. No one mentioned defenseless.
But he's going to get fined.
He was defenseless. He had let up. His body had gone limp. He had taken two full steps and taken himself out of the play, turned his head. Play was over in Wes Welker's mind.
Right.
And Clark just killed him. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not what Wilfork says. Wilfork claims when they watched tape, they saw this guy doing this repeatedly this season.
Based on what Wilfork says about himself, do you believe that?
I don't know, Paul.
That's all I'm saying.
Generally, guys have a little more of a clear view when they're looking at other people than themselves.
Yeah. Well, the only point that I was making was the hit itself. All the things you just said about the hit I thought are accurate. But the hit, it wasn't helmet to helmet.
It wasn't helmet to helmet.
It was a shoulder hit. And I think people are going overboard a little bit with this. He tried to hurt him.
Oh, I don't think he tried
I don't think
to
he
hurt
was,
him.
I don't think his intention was out there.
I don't think his intention
I think it
was
a late
hurt.
Hit.
But when you're a safety or anyone hitting a guy, your intention is to lay
of course.
Him
right.
out.
And
right.
that's your job.
Right.
But I think there's a difference between that and people on sports talk radio here are calling it Jack Tatum.
I wouldn't
Jack
go
Tatum's
there.
No.
I wouldn't go
lone
there.
Purpose in the secondary was to do exactly what he did to Daryl Stingley.
Yeah.
Paralyzed. That's what he tried to do. He tried every game to knock a guy out of the game.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what Ryan Clark was trying to do.
I don't think so either, but I do think it was, obviously it was an illegal hit.
Yes.
It was a hit that he didn't have to do.
I agree.
You know, everything about it was wrong, and I know he said that he apologized on the field to Kevin Falk.
Right. He went to college with Falk. He must be an LSU guy. He said, I talked to him in the locker room
a little bit.
That's
why you're a reporter, Paul.
I didn't check it. He just said it.
I know, I'm just saying.
As a reporter, you shouldn't just assume that what a guy says is accurate.
I'm going to look it up so I can laugh.
No, that's what I'm saying. He says that, I know Kevin Falk from college is, I think, how he put it, so I'm assuming you went to LSU. He said he didn't get a chance to talk to Wes. Obviously, Welker never came back in the game, so in order to do that, he would have had to go on all the way over to the other sideline, and I don't think that would have been taken too kindly by the Patriots. So he said, I never go out there trying to hurt anybody. He said he didn't. The ball was tipped, and he didn't realize that. The referee told him he left his feet, and he absolutely did.
Yes.
And that's what he got the penalty for, that in the play being over. I think it was late, and he did leave his feet.
Yep.
Now, my argument would be this for the Pittsburgh side. I think he's going to get fined, and he should get fined. Okay, so Andy's sarcasm aside, know that I think that it should be a fine. David Thomas hit Robert Mathis late on a pile in Indianapolis. I think these two things are almost identical, with the exception you add Ryan Clark being worse because he left his feet. Whereas Thomas just went over and buried a guy that was defenseless, not even looking. Same thing. Late, not looking, and defenseless. Only David Thomas didn't leave his feet.
Yeah.
He got fined $7,500. Yeah. I think Clark should be fined at least 10 grand.
Not looking doesn't constitute a bad hit, because you're supposed to be looking. But when you do it late,
right,
that's when not looking is included in the sentence.
Right, and in both cases, they were late. That's why I think they were both flagged, and they'll both be fined.
Right.
I think Clark's was worse because he also left his feet.
Right.
But my problem with it from the Pittsburgh side is the ball did get deflected. Now, what if it's not deflected? Is the same hit a penalty? I think it would have been, based on the way the referee said he left his feet.
Yeah, I do. Because, well, the play was over. It was beyond him. It doesn't matter whether it was deflected or not.
Well, according to what Ryan Clark said, the referee said, I left my feet.
Yeah.
So didn't that really reference the fact that the play was over? Well, so I'm saying if the ball doesn't get deflected, the play wouldn't have been over.
Right.
So I'm wondering how they call it. I think it gets to your thing, Andy, that you hate all the time, is that they call these plays all the time, and they call all these receivers defenseless.
Right.
I think that the reason, to me, this was a penalty was because it was so late.
Right.
That's why I think it was a good call.
That's why that. Yeah.
But I think the focus is on the cheap aspect of the hit that I don't really think was that cheap.
But Welker wouldn't have been defenseless had the ball not gotten tipped, because
I agree.
He would have still been going for the act of catching. And to me, when you're trying to do something on the football field, see, I disagree that a receiver who dives is defenseless, because to me, if he's doing an act of football, going for a catch, he's playing football. That's not defenseless. You can get hurt. You could get hit. But you're in the act of making a football move, as they like to say. Yeah. Wes Welker would have been doing that.
I'm wondering.
He saw it get tipped. He turns his head, takes two steps, goes limp.
And that's why I think he deserves whatever he gets.
So
that's why I think it was wrong.
I don't think it would have been a penalty. In my mind, it wouldn't have been a penalty.
I think it would have been called.
I wouldn't have called it. But to me, the play was clearly over. He was clearly giving himself up, and you killed him.
Right.
So in other words, if the ball doesn't get tipped, you don't think it should be a penalty.
No. Then because I think there would have been a play there. There would have been a ball.
So to me, the only element by him.
Now, see, we're
then
in total.
He's fair game.
I'm in total agreement with you guys then, because I think the only element that was wrong in the play was the tardiness.
Oh, I have no problem with launching. I think launching should be a part of football. I have no reason why an offensive player can dive to get a ball. A defensive player can dive to tackle.
Well, you can
the
launch.
Head is, the
you
head
just
is
can't
the only thing I don't like.
Head first and use your
head. Well, no, he didn't use his head.
He didn't
there
use
was
his
no
head.
I know. Involved. But the referee told him he launched himself.
Well, he said he left his feet and all that. So,
well, you know what?
Every time you make a tackle, you in effect launch yourself
at
the guy.
You're exploding through a guy.
Right. That's
John Dennis today says, well, he broke two of the three things. He left his feet and he launched himself. Isn't that the same thing?
That's just ridiculous.
How do you launch yourself with your feet on the ground?
That's just ridiculous. He hit him with his shoulder.
That's what my point was.
That's the
it. Was it was late,
it was
and that's
late.
Why he that's should it. Be fined, and he should he was flagged. It was right. a it was it gave him the first down.
Right.
You know, the fact that they stopped him three and out again was somewhat deflating, but
yeah.
I mean, it should have been flagged. It was, and I think he'll be fined. And I would be surprised if it's any less than 10 grand.
All right.
If David Thomas got $7,500 for his hit, this was worse than that.
15.
Webradio@pages.com is the email address. We'll take a break. We have a lot of emails.
You're never going to catch me.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
parties.
Baby shower.
For my son's graduation party.
It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it.
It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
Is it disrespectful to call you a nice little player?
A nice little player? I mean, I think that's kind of gay.
How about a short little player?
How about a tall, skinny bench warmer?
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
That, of course, was Wes Welker in Matt Castle.
We should make
right
that
here in this very studio. Right.
That should be like a permanent part of every open.
Like if
especially if Castle goes on to be a good starter somewhere else.
If we had ad spots, television commercials, we would have the video of that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like that kind of stuff happens every day.
Right. You never know who might come.
No one needs to know that was like the one and only.
Right. But if you're advertising, you know, you do the shots of Castle and Welker. They were sitting right next to each other, and they were ragging on each other.
Then we'd have to throw Howie Long in.
Iggy from Madrid.
It was 8 years ago, but who cares?
Scott Zolak.
Well, we just have him like walking through the back of the studio during the middle of the show.
Taking food.
Right.
Making fun of the PFW guys, their little feet dangling from the chair.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Billy from Carlsbad, California writes in, I want to start by saying that I love the show. I live 30 minutes from Qualcomm Stadium and can't turn on the TV lately without hearing excuses for the Chargers' latest loss from my local sports anchor, who is the biggest crybaby I've ever seen. So it's nice to hear from people who know something about football before I go off on San Diego. Let me ask my question. For the past 2 weeks, I've sat and listened to the show and listened to the email suggesting we trade Brady in order to make Castle the new QB. So my question is now, after Castle's below-average performance against the Steelers, do you think the people who were suggesting this are still on Castle's wagon? I, for one, never was, even after his two 400-yard games, and still think it is time to say goodbye to Castle. What do you think?
I do think some reactionary people will look at it differently this week than they did last week.
Oh, yeah.
I think there is I don't think it's a huge portion, but I think there's a portion of fandom that is that reactionary.
Yeah, I didn't really think there was a huge hue. I think it's being played up a little bit more now in the aftermath of this loss, of how many people that were actually suggesting that they should try to keep Castle over Brady. I don't think there were very many people that were suggesting.
Yeah,
that
I think
last week. There
I
were
think,
some.
And
it
I
was
think
out
you have to
there.
Separate.
There were some.
There were those that are on the far end saying, "Wow, we should keep Castle instead of Brady." And then there was the other faction of, "We can't just let him walk without
How can
getting
we get
something,
something
for him."
Right. And there's a big difference between that and suggesting they should keep him over Brady.
Right.
But we did get some. I don't want to dismiss it. We did get some emails that suggested that Brady has lost his zest for the game.
Yep.
He wasn't around in the offseason. He was surfing. That's why he hurt his foot. We got one email that said that. I don't know where he got that from, if it's accurate or not. Who knows? And that he's not going to be around. And simply, Castle's 26 and Brady's 31. And
right.
You know, maybe the better years are behind Brady. Why not go with the younger guy? Yeah. There were some people that said that, but not a lot. Not
I will
a lot.
Say I was still asked about it on a radio thing yesterday, if it was still a good idea or if it was a blockbuster, two ones, two twos,
right.
two threes or something.
Well, that's the thing, and there's also a difference there. We posed it on the pregame show on Sunday, Freddie. If someone gave you the Herschel Walker kind of trade,
right.
That's three ones and three twos.
You gotta
well,
look
I got to tell
it.
You something. I would do that.
Absolutely.
By the way, they said that yesterday, and my response was, well, I'd kind of like to know what Bill's going to do with them, because if he uses those ones on Merriweather, Lawrence Maroney, and uses Chad Jackson as a second-round picks, I'll keep Brady the sure thing.
But don't you think if he had three ones and three twos, so that means he has, for the next 3 years, he has two ones and two twos, minimum. He's going to parlay that into probably like five twos, and you know he's just going to keep trading. You're going to be set for the next decade.
Right.
There's no way he's missed. There's no way he's missing on all of those guys.
You're just a bad general manager if you're not listening to that offer and really you know giving it serious consideration.
But you're giving up the sure thing, best quarterback in the game.
The sure thing.
Everything that everyone else strives.
You know what else is a sure thing? He's not always going to be here.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
And you set yourself
now
up.
Now you're setting yourself up for a decade.
Because don't you look at this team as right now being not good enough?
Oh yeah.
Well, he's got to do something to make sure the team is good enough.
Wow. I'm also not sold that they're miles away from good enough.
Well, let's
no,
say,
well, not with Brady. They're not.
But
miles
let's say.
Away.
Let's,
well, that's my
with,
point.
With
though.
Brady,
let's say,
if
let's
how many more
Brady
years?
And Terrence Wheatley's back at corner, and say you
right.
hit on that draft pick, a top, you know,
right.
one of the top two
right.
picks, and Mayo's as good as we think he is. I'm not so sure that. They're not going to be a championship.
Oh, I think
next
they would
year.
Absolutely. They would listen. They'd be a Super Bowl favorite today if Brady didn't go down on day one. There's
but
no doubt in my mind.
Where do you have more questions? If you keep Tom Brady going into next year, Matt Castle's gone, or you make that trade, Matt Castle's your quarterback, and yeah, you had two first round picks next year. Which team do you like better immediately next year?
Oh, the Brady one. No
right.
question.
And I'd feel the same way for a couple years probably.
Well, but you also have to wonder. What Brady's going to be like at age 32 coming off major knee surgery. I know you just
I know
missed
that's
the torn ACL
it.
Because you've been through it and stuff
I
like that.
I know that's part of it, but I just think Brady with injury is the surest of things.
Well, he's better than Castle. There's no question about that.
But I think he's better than Castle and – or I won't say better. He's more of a sure thing than Castle and the first of the first-round picks you got.
But my point is – and Bill used to say this all the time when anybody suggested how dominant they were. Now, let's I know you can't do this because it all happened, but let's not really include 2007 for the sake of this discussion.
Take out that 80-yard run.
No. I'm not taking out. Listen, 2007, they were every bit as dominant as anybody wanted to suggest they were. They went 16-0. You can't be more dominant than that. But for the balance of Brady's career, would you not admit that there were plenty of games and big games, important games that either led to playoff seeding or went to in playoff games that could have gone either way?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So if Brady's a little bit weakened by his performance at age 32 coming off a major knee surgery, I'm not sure that you're as dominant as you were.
Sure.
Now, certainly, you're better off with that scenario than you would be with Castle. You know, Castle's been a nice story.
But it's not just Castle. I'm saying, in your mind, include the guy you think you're going to get. You know, the first-round pick, the extra guy, not the one that you already own, but that guy. Is Castle and that guy
well,
a better for your
but you're
team?
You're also assuming you're going to be able to get something for Castle. What if you can't? What
no,
if
I'm
you
talking
don't
about
franchise?
Keeping Castle. No, Castle is your quarterback, and you got a first-round pick next year guaranteed for Brady.
Oh, I thought you
probably
meant with Brady.
Three more. So your choice is Castle and a one plus whatever, or Brady. Which do you feel better about? I feel better
about
Brady.
In the immediate,
Brady
I feel
always.
Better about Brady, and that, no question right. about it. But I don't know how long I feel better about Brady. I have to see him play.
But it should only get better, not worse.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Oh, I do.
How long do you think he's going to play?
How long do I think? I have no idea, because I don't know what his mindset is.
But that's my point.
But in terms of physical, I think minimum you have another 5 years out of him, and at least three of them should be at pretty close to peak level.
I would agree with that.
So,
well, I don't know how peak, but I agree with that. He should be
well,
he should be
very good. One of the best
well,
three or four quarterbacks
mentally,
in the
certainly
game.
Certainly, he'll be at the top of his game,
right?
You know,
and I just think we've always said the reason the Patriots are the best is because of Belichick and Brady. They found what everybody else strives for: the best and the consistency at quarterback and coach. And to just throw that away, even for the value listen, of first round picks,
it's funny. For this
Lawrence Maroney and Brandon Merriweather were first-round picks. Right now, I think they were basically busts. Benjamin Watson busts. So we have plenty of examples of this regime wasting those picks. So I would be scared to give up the best in the game for the potential of all those first-round
and
picks.
And we can all admit this is just
never
kind of
happen?
Fun, for this setting, a fun
right.
topic. Okay, it's not going to happen. We don't want it to happen. I don't think anybody wants to see Brady leave. So it's just a talk radio
right.
kind of contrived topic, and we fell into it
because it's fun.
Last week and a half.
There's
no
doubt it's fun to talk
it's
about.
It's not real.
And I also think I wouldn't even believe it if I woke up and I read, you know, my Boston Globe game and it said Brady gone, and I'd be, what? Like, I would not believe it until I actually
well,
saw a game without him.
Prepared for
there.
That day to happen because that will
hey,
happen.
Bobby Orr left.
He's not going to just retire.
Joe Namath left.
I know.
They'll get rid of him.
O.J. Simpson left. For
They'll
what
get rid of him before he retires.
Brady's now a murderer?
No, but you know what I mean. The biggest names in football have gone.
No, I know, but there's a difference between it happening at 37 than happening at 31.
What a catch by Steve Smith at the end of that game.
He's in as long as he's been around, he's still in the prime of a quarterbacking career here.
Yeah.
And for him to be gone, I think that would be
absolutely
crazy. Shocking.
Crazy. We do have to shout out to John in South Carolina who brought
I love you,
us
John.
Lunch today.
Thank you, John.
The best, John.
Thank you very much, John. We don't deserve it. He has a question. Should we move are you all right? This guy, he's having coffee.
He's got the whooping cough again.
Typhoid Thursday, Mary. That's who I was thinking of. Typhoid Mary. Who was Typhoid Mary?
Sounds like a
I don't know,
cartoon character.
At least I know what you're talking
Look
about.
Look her up,
now.
Dan.
Sounds like an Urban Dictionary word of the day.
No, Typhoid Mary. She
I gave
this
Mary
woman
my
who,
typhoid.
Like, spread typhoid or something.
Speaking of spreading typhoid,
it was an epidemic.
When? The 20s?
Yeah.
1800s?
Well,
yeah.
Back then, you know. Anyway.
Oh,
she
was put on an island?
Hmm.
She was put on an island.
Was she?
She was quarantined to an island.
I
saw a History Channel special on her, I think.
Oh, okay.
That just all came back to me. Yeah, she was put on an island somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll have to.
It really is an Urban Dictionary.
Well, I know, but is that where you go for your information when you need to find something out?
Let me read it to you. It says.
That's not the place you should be going.
Just read it.
You're too young.
A local Rochester legend, Typhoid Mary, lives in East Irondequoit, the shady side of town where she infected the majority of the town, and the term is now used to describe a sickly or highly contagious person.
Okay. So you're Typhoid Mary. Anyway, on to John's question. Should we move Delta to slot duty and try to get Webster or Richardson more time? Not sure of the potential with Richardson, but as I understand it, Webster could develop into something better. Am I way off on this?
Develop?
Webster's like a 10-year veteran.
Yeah, he is what he is.
Okay. You said Webster, right?
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
Richardson, I guess you could make that
Richardson
argument because he's young.
Richardson is young. I haven't really seen any real potential from him, but he's young. I don't know if he could develop into something.
I think
and I'm also not sure
it. The secondary stinks.
I'm also not sure, Andy. I'll defer to you because you know,
okay.
you play the
I'm
game.
I'm like Bert Breer.
You and Albert Breer played the game. I don't look at slot duty as being easier than outside duty.
Different and borderline harder, Mike.
Yeah.
There's more places to go.
Yeah.
It's very different.
You don't have the sideline as your helper.
Right.
But I don't look at it as you say when a guy slows down or proves that he can't handle it on the outside, let's stick him inside.
Well,
I think his way of putting it was
kind of just making him the nickelback so that he's not on the field as often.
Okay.
I think he just wanted to demote him to less reps.
Yeah.
Which I'm all for because he stinks.
I think he's been bad.
But I think you should have known that coming in because he was cut by the Bengals. And I also enjoyed at one point in the first quarter when one of the Pittsburgh writers, who obviously played the Bengals twice a year, said, hey, there's the 21 we've grown to know and love over the years.
The one game that I thought
Pittsburgh
that he looked good
very loud.
Very loud.
Worst I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Worst press corps in the league.
Yeah.
They all thought they knew everything about the game, and
didn't.
Judging from the comments that we heard, they knew very little.
And then there was the one guy who, I guess he was a writer, but he had radio voice, and he was talking very loud the whole game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Buffalo's been in the red zone three times and came away with 3 points.
What a clown.
Glad we're perfect.
Yeah. We're pretty loud, too, but at least we don't pretend we invented the game.
And I always assume we're up higher, so it just kind of dissipates above.
Right.
And
I'm not sure that that's a good assumption, but those guys were obnoxious last week.
Bob from Charleston, Rhode Island. Love your show, Fred. Show your whipples. Remember what a whipple is?
No.
It's an asymmetrical nipple.
Do you have asymmetrical nipples?
No. Who's the woman who did?
Brooke Burke.
Brooke Burke
does.
But I think hers was a plastic surgery gone wrong.
Anyway, my son is headed to Seattle for a medical conference, and I would like to give him the info on where the Seattle-based Patriots fans gather. Could you send it to me? Are you
corporate.
On that, two-gender?
He's on the phone right now.
Who's he talking to?
I don't know. He's on his cell phone. Probably his girlfriend.
About that.
Love the show. Hated to hear about Mike and Gary. He's been a Pats fan since he can remember. 1968, he guesses, was at the opening day of Schaefer Stadium with his uncle in 1972.
We should say that Mike Perrini got a boost of good feeling this weekend when Matthew Slater had the ball bounce off the 1 and the 8 in his chest and then kicked it away and looked like a buffoon out on the football field.
Sent me an email and said, quote, "It brightened my entire day."
And that's even in light of the Plaxico Burress self-inflicted gunshot.
He actually went on to say he should do the team a favor and shoot himself in the thigh or something.
Plaxico Burress going to prison. We should just say that real quick.
Yeah.
Is he? Is that?
I mean, no. Not. Oh. We won't know till March, but it really looks like prison is where he's going to end up for some period of time.
It's a pretty black and white law. The only time in New York, you know, I guess there's so many of these things that a lot of times they don't get reported and enforced and all that. But once it's reported...
Plus, he did
other
stuff.
It's pretty black and white. I mean,
I mean, isn't that obstruction of justice when you make up a story and give the wrong name and
try to hide the weapon?
What was it, Harris Smith? And I was at an Applebee's and somebody. There's more crimes there, and the crimes that they've charged him. What did they do? Whatever they put out there. One of them is like intent to do harm. So not only that, he just
was
carrying.
That's the big one to me.
But they're doing investigation to see if he had the intention of using that gun to do harm on somebody else. So. He could be in some big trouble. The minimum sentence is 3.5 years. Mandatory minimum sentence, if he's found guilty, is 3.5 years.
But don't
years.
You think, you know, what Antonio Pierce said, I'm willing to cooperate as long as I don't have any charges against me, which is really nice of him. But he probably holds the key right now. If they can get him to roll.
Well, I mean, if you're in a club, I'm sure there's about 5 other people that could hold the key.
No, but I mean, you know he was with them.
Right, and I know he's probably not going to roll.
He took the gun.
I'm expecting there to be witnesses that come out of the woodwork that.
Yeah, I mean,
if he went there specifically to do harm to somebody,
Antonio Pierce probably knows.
Well, someone probably knows,
yeah.
and they're going to find out, and he is going to go to prison. Now, if they can't prove that, then I think he'll probably get the athlete treatment and not go to prison.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. The mayor's
I don't think he'll.
He's on the TV. Right now, Bloomberg.
This is getting political because it sounded like Bloomberg had to pull favors to get this law passed in the first place, and now the first high-profile time it's called into question for them to not use the law. It sounds like there's some politics involved here that may supersede any preferential treatment to a star athlete.
Yeah, it was funny. The Post
you could
had
get the Vic treatment.
Giant jerk was the Post headline on Sunday.
Plus, he could get. I mean, the general spirit in New York is they're upset with him because of the way he's handled himself all year.
Yeah.
Right.
So that could kind of hurt him. You know, let's not. Politicians and lawmakers are also people, and sometimes they're stupid, you know, petty sports fan feelings.
Well, look at the first time that Clemens came in before Congress. They were, you know, slobbering all over him, you know?
That's a good word.
And they're talking about – Florio also had an interesting addition to that. Did you see that the hospital didn't contact the police, which is –
They called several hospitals until they found one that said that they wouldn't report it.
That's hospital 101. Gunshot wound is automatic.
That's the law.
That person,
by the way, has been fired.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's unbelievable.
Let's see. Neil in Nottingham. I was wondering if you could offer your thoughts on how you think the recent scheduling will affect the Patriots. The Steelers, Seahawks, and Raiders have all been given Thursday games and then 10 days rest to prepare before they face us. I would suggest the extra rest and prep time the Steelers had, obviously they put to very good use. They killed us on Sunday. Although the Hawks and Raiders are not in the same class as Pittsburgh, surely the extra time they will get can only benefit them and hinder us. This scheduling seems very inconsistent with Roger Goodell's level playing field policy, and to make things more difficult, the games occur on three consecutive weeks. Appreciate your thoughts. Keep up the great work you do, making the show entertaining and the only one on the web worth listening to.
I would say two things. First of all, I'm not sure the extra time greatly benefited the Steelers because they took advantage of the game after halftime, after a full half of play. And if you ask anybody, they just did what they do. And that's on 4 days rest or 10 days rest. The Steelers have a certain philosophy and game plan on both sides of the ball, and more often than not, they enact it. The second thing I would say is, in my opinion, it's far more valuable to have the benefit of staying on the West Coast twice and not having to fly back and forth across the country than it is detrimental to play these three teams with 10 days rest.
And that was certainly granted then. That was a request that Belichick
right.
and Kraft made of Goodell.
So
that
if you want
granted.
A level playing field, then be the Jets and have to fly back and forth.
Four times.
Right. So
which they have.
I'd much rather be the Patriots with these two scheduling
I just
quirks.
Think it's one of those quirks that, you know, I didn't hear anybody in Miami complaining that they had to play the Patriots when the Patriots had 10 days to prepare. And I didn't hear anybody in Tennessee complaining they had to play the Jets when the Jets had 10 days to prepare. I don't like Thursday night games.
No one does.
I don't like the Thursday night NFL Network game. I do think it's unfair that first you have to play on 4 days. I think that's unfair. But then I also think it's unfair the following week that you get an extra built-in bye. I don't think that's fair to anybody, but I don't think it's specifically unfair to the Patriots that they – got caught in this unfortunate three-game stretch where they're going to see three teams that are coming off the Thursday night game. I think it stinks.
Maki in Ireland, extremely disappointed about the loss, though I honestly wasn't expecting a win. I think this was a team loss. Defense was awful, particularly the secondary, but the pressure from the front seven was not even close to what the Steelers' front seven created. And for the money that is invested in those guys, I think we should be expecting it to be as good. In terms of the offense, Castle was due a bad game, but certainly wasn't anywhere close to the worst offender on either side of the ball. Some of the drops were ridiculous, particularly Moss in the end zone before the half, which would have set us up nicely for the second half up 17-10. Also, anyone who even brings up Ben Watson's heroic effort to get back and tackle Timmons after the interception should shut the hell up. The guy is a first-round pick whose two career highlights are two tackles after two interceptions. He's a bust. I think playoffs are now out of the reach. What do you guys think? Also, will we see Slater return a kick again this season ever? Well, I'm not as down as Maki is. Obviously, the playoffs is still within reach, but they've got to, you know, they got to get help.
It's unlikely.
They need help. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Bottom line, do they make the playoffs?
Yes.
No.
I think they do.
I why not think yes? Why not go through this period of your life thinking that they will? It makes it more interesting.
You have a choice. I don't even have to use my Fred Kirsch powers of persuasion. I just think that they do. I think they will. I think Baltimore is going to lose two. And I think that there's a chance that the way the division unfolds, I think there's at least a better than 50-50 chance, and that's, you know, if I thought it was worse than 50-50, I would say no, but I think it's better than 50-50. I don't think it's a great chance.
They're done.
I don't think it's a great chance, and certainly I think if you lose another game, it's all. I don't think at 10-6 you're getting in.
I don't either, and I don't see any way that they win four in a row.
All right.
It's done.
John says, at least we should be rid of the pesky trade Brady talk. While I do not think Castle's as bad as the Pats-Pittsburgh score, he is probably not as good as the Miami score. A bigger question is, what do we do about our defense? After the Patriots loss, I found myself thinking, this season is now a wash. What can we do to improve this defense? I think the young players getting a chance to play is a good thing. I do not want to sacrifice the playing time the young players are getting, but is there a way we can start working on next year's defense? Do we stop playing Delta and give some other players a chance to learn? Do we have any other DBs? Are the passes completed over the middle because of inexperience at the linebacker or safety position? It seems that our safeties and linebackers have enough physical ability, so I am not sure why the passes over the middle are succeeding.
I think the plan will be exactly the same as it was this year.
Right.
Go heavy defense in the draft again. I really think that Bill will continue to try to overhaul that defense. He's a defensive guy, and he knows. He knows he doesn't have the horses. He knows that defense isn't good enough the way it's constructed. And he also knew that last year. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done what he did last April.
Andy could lose some horses. I mean, Brewski could retire. Vrabel threw it out there. If I'm on this team next year, anybody's. So if he's
Rodney's
gone,
probably not coming.
Rodney's,
back.
I would think.
He said. I mean, I know that's a lot gone. Can happen over the next 8 to 10 months, but he said he wasn't coming back.
Yeah,
no, I'm done. He
in
said,
terms of getting some actually. Some people, Will Hite to me would be the most logical candidate because
the Wheatley injury is big,
right? Because he could be playing.
He'd be the guy probably that would be. Right. He probably would. Well, he was starting.
He would get.
He
rest.
Started the last game he played.
He's yep. making a lot of plays too.
Yeah, he was all over the place. I think he would be starting in place of O'Neill right now.
But other than that, I mean, Crable's already on IR, so you can't get any Crable reps.
That's
in there.
Another unfortunate one.
Guyton and Mayo were already playing a lot.
I thought Guyton played well the other day.
In spots, and he really played well a couple times against the run. Came up and made some nice plays as the backside linebacker. Tackles for, like, near the line of scrimmage, yeah. one-yard gains. And I thought he showed up, and I think he's showing up as a pretty good all-around linebacker.
Are we overrating him because of his undrafted status?
Sure.
Fred, do you think we're doing that a little bit?
Who?
Thanks.
If he were a second-round pick, we'd be saying
Gary Guyton.
He's played, he's made a – but he no, hasn't
I think
done enough.
I think he's done some things.
But we wouldn't be
but
saying
But are we
that
talking about him more
pick.
Than we should be because he's an undrafted free agent and we're just so impressed that not only he made the team, but he's finding a way to contribute every week? If he, like Andy said, if he was a second-round pick, we'd be saying, yeah, he's playing.
I think even if he was a fifth-round pick, I'd be saying, no, he's doing okay. If he was a high pick
– So, yes.
Yeah.
Because fifth-round pick's not all that far from
undrafted. I like him, and I was wondering – for myself, if I'm overrating him because of his status.
I still think he's a backup, or I think he's a fifth linebacker, sub-package guy.
I'm not sure where he fits.
But
could you see him starting next year?
No.
Without Brewski?
No.
Someone else has to come in and do that?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, you move Mayo to the strong side and just have him kind of run around and fill in from the backside there. Maybe. I think you're if you come out next year and you're starting – Mayo, Guyton, Woods. If those are your starters, you don't really have a backup plan. You kind of just fill in behind them. I think you might be a little.
I'm not convinced that Vrabel's done though.
I'm not either.
Despite his comment,
but we kind of heard rumblings
years ago. Yeah, I thought there was a chance I thought there was a chance he wouldn't have been back this year.
And he's dealt with the shoulder all year, so it could be one of those where either it can't get any better or. You know, he's not willing to fight through the same issues and pains for another season. Hasn't had a great season, hasn't been overly productive, probably isn't having a ton of fun. I think some of his comments have sort of
been... One of his better games, I thought, this week, too.
But, you know, I don't get the impression he's had a lot of fun this year on the football field. So I wouldn't be stunned. Did you see this play with Andre Johnson?
Yeah.
Where they forgot to put the pylon inside? I think they generally put him outside. When they have warm-ups, they get him out of the way.
Yeah.
But no one ever put it back, and he's diving for the pylon, and there's no pylon.
I did see that.
Paul from London writes in.
Hey!
Hey, guys. And since it's Tuesday, Eric isn't there. First, thanks to all the info, Fred. And you will all be attending next October to see the Patriots giving out a beating to the Bucks. If you aren't staying too far from where I am in Surrey, South London, I will provide typical British lunch for all of you. And I'm sure a PFW meet will be good. Anyway, on to Sunday's game.
Whoa. What's a typical British lunch? I don't go into these things without...
Bangers and chips.
And some F-A-G-G-O-T-S's?
No, you can't do the last part.
The meatballs. Meatballs, remember? The box of meatballs that said blankets?
No. Blankets?
Not blankets.
What's
blankets.
A banger?
A banger?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
Banger.
Anyway, on to Sunday's game. I don't agree with Eric's article comparing Castle and Roethlisberger's stats. The yardage was close, but two interceptions versus two touchdowns and an interception is completely different. I also don't think you can blame every single game in that game, as it was a complete breakdown of every part of the team, from Moss to Aiken and from Slater to Mayo. In fact, you can put blame on every person except the new Mr. Patriot, Kevin Faulk, who has to be a favorite for Patriot MVP this year. He does everything that is asked and more. To end with, is there any news on Welker? And if he is out, can we bring him to PFW for another go? Bring on Sunday and a big win, hopefully, so we can put this game out of our minds. P.S., I urge you all again to vote in the Pro Bowl 5 days ago. Mankins and Mayo had also broken into their top five in their position to go along with Moss, Brewski, Light, and Izzo. Patriot pride is at stake, and I still think there is a week or so to vote.
Am I to understand Brewski was 4 and Mayo was 5. That's the same position. So Patriots fans are voting
you
for
really
Brewski
need to
over
have
Mayo?
That explained to you?
Why? Do they watch the games?
I'm asking myself that for 10 years now, Andy.
Because I agree with Ron Borges' report card. Teddy Brewski led the team with 10 tackles. I don't recall a single one of them. I don't remember. Literally, I can remember Gary Guyton making plays.
Mike Vrabel?
Anyone. Even a guy that had a bad
game.
I thought that Mike Wright had a bad game. I remember him making a couple plays. I do not remember Teddy Brewski making a play. And yet he led the team in tackles.
All right. Well.
Paul, what's your little stat you like? Your fun fact?
Oh, my little fun fact, I was doing the stats after the game the other day, and Vince...
Which means, don't put a lot of value in those stats in
it's
PFW.
It's just a fun fact.
Why?
Because I'm sure you screwed
something. No, this
out.
Is accurate. I had to check it twice. Vince Wilfork has more unassisted tackles this season than Teddy Brewski. Mm. Now, Brewski is well ahead in tackles because he gets all assists, and Wilfork doesn't, but unassisted tackles, Wilfork has more than Brewski.
I think Wilfork's had a great year.
He's been solid.
Ah, someone's at the door.
Hey, guys, this is your favorite flight attendant, Karen. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I got that can of soda for you, Freddy. So put your seat back and tray table up and quit your bitching, huh?
I think she knows you like it in the can.
I like the little Archie Bunker at the end.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I know.
It's
I do.
Bad. This word's week's phrase, or today's phrase, courtesy of our trip to England that's coming up next October, is the English toothbrush. Ooh. That's English toothbrush.
Judging from their teeth, that can't be good.
It's aww. Not good.
What? The English are notorious for having bad teeth.
Yeah, well, you,
let's just say it's something Eric could give and receive.
Oh. See now.
That's just
well, have to get
it
that
could
graphic.
Be a Christmas gift. It's that time of year. Holiday gifts are being
where
passed
is
about.
Is Eric in today?
No.
No?
He took the last 2 days off.
I know from experience, dude.
He was here yesterday, but he took the last 2 days off.
Holy crap, does he mail it in on Mondays?
508-543-7482 is the phone number, and on it is Jamie from Houston. Hello, Jamie.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How you been?
Doing all right. Fred, I'm going to have to give you some grief, man. Have you gotten enough grief about Zach Slater yet? Are you off the bandwagon yet?
Off the bandwagon. He's had more than his opportunities to prove himself, and he's just not reliable back there. And if there's one thing you have to be as a kick returner, is reliable.
Yeah, he sucks.
I agree.
Jamie.
He does. Aside from the speed, he has sucked.
I had high hopes.
I did too,
yeah.
Fred.
All
but
right.
Cut
you've,
ties.
You've repented, and that's acceptable. Thank you, sir.
All right.
And I think we've just been inconsistent just too much this year and, you know, across the board, execution and coaching. And, that's what you get when you're inconsistent. You're going to get, you know, a so-so year and probably not, you know, into the dance.
Yeah. Sounds like people are resigning themselves, Fred, to a potential playoff
free season. Well, I'm going to keep on hope because it makes it more interesting for me.
You do that.
Gotcha. Hey,
we haven't been in this spot
doing?
Since 02.
Yeah.
We have not seen Wes Welker, but he, according to the other players, was at the facility yesterday, so I guess that's a good sign.
He's a tough guy. He's a tough little guy, I think Logan Mankins called
firecracker,
him.
Spark plug or something. This is remember, though, this is back-to-back weeks where he's gotten killed.
I'm just going to assume he's playing.
I would, too.
I have nothing to base that on other than the fact that that's what football players generally do.
Hypothetically speaking, say he had a mild concussion the previous week, right?
Yeah.
When he got killed.
Yeah.
It could be made that much worse 2 weeks in a row.
Two in a week, which is like inside that period.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just don't think that he'll miss
the
game.
How vicious that was. I mean, I think that's the most vicious hit I've seen in a long, long time in the National Football League. I mean, that was just brutal looking.
It was certainly whatever you want to call it, highlight reel, low light reel.
If there was no ground, he'd still be spinning. Really?
It was a big
the
time
only
hit.
Thing that it was the ground.
That's the trouble. The ground stopped him. After the guy hit him, the ground then stopped him.
Right.
Yeah, it was bad stuff. You know, in that game I felt bad for two people, Wes Welker and then Kevin Falk. I think you guys know me for being a big Kevin Falk fan over the years.
Yep.
And he played his little butt off, man. He and Wes Welker laid it out there, and it's just a shame that the team couldn't rise to the occasion. Just too many missed opportunities, too many big players and role players not doing their job.
Yeah, with a month to go, we're already giving the PFW MVP to Kevin Falk.
Thank you. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. Just wanted to give a quick hit. You know, overall, Matt Cassel, you know, has done his job. He had a particularly horrible game, you know, today. Quarterbacks are entitled to have a bad game. I mean,
yeah.
He's done his job. The rest of the team hasn't really. And, you know, we'll just, you know, hopefully we'll wait till next year. We'll get him next year.
Wow, wait till next year. December 2nd.
You know, the thing about it is, and thanks for the call, Jamie.
See you, Jamie.
Take care, guys. Bye.
The thing about it is, as soon as Brady got hurt, we all said this wasn't going to be easy, that this would be an interesting season because we just wouldn't know from week to week.
But once we got it right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this is. So I'm not giving up hope.
Well, we got it right a lot this year.
I mean, we kind of
knew. But once we got it right.
But even beyond that,
the roller coaster that you were going to have to ride.
We said that the secondary sucked.
Yeah.
And if there was pass rush, maybe they could overcome it.
Right.
If not, that could be a fatal flaw.
Right.
That has played out perfectly. There's been not enough pass rush.
And without Brady.
Now, I thought that the front seven would make
well,
up for
it.
It
every,
hasn't.
You had every right to believe that.
Yeah. Right. That wasn't wrong either, Fred. I mean, that was a rational thought. And when that front seven has been particularly tough, they've protected the secondary.
But you know, Patriots fans, let's show a little bit more backbone than what I'm hearing here. I mean, most teams have to go through this year into year out. It's a fight to make the playoffs. All of a sudden, we're one of those teams that, oh, let's wait till next year. Come on!
Wow. But no one...
Playoffs?
I don't think anybody's bemoaning that it's not
fair
or anything.
Oh, I'm hearing a lot of... Come on, we're still in this thing.
No, all right.
See, I think all they're doing is looking at the 12 previous weeks and going... It is what it is. I got to be a realist.
Yeah, but every team that's in our position could say that. I mean, they're all 7-5 or 8-3 or 6-5 or whatever for a reason. I mean, because they had some good games and they had some bad games. You know, that's what middle of the road teams are.
What's the gabagoo?
Right now, we're a middle of the road team fighting for a chance to get in the playoffs.
We'll treat this like his edit letter. We'll clean up the facts later.
We kind of figured that was going to happen when Brady got hurt. Now we're there. Why are we giving up now? This is what we thought it would be like.
Embrace
Don't give up.
Away,
well,
baby.
We also thought in the past that if Brady ever went down, they wouldn't make the playoffs.
Some people said that.
Most people said that.
No, some people gave more credit to the rest of the team and coaches.
No, but not that they would or wouldn't make the playoffs, but that it would be a struggle.
Of course. I know.
Everybody said that.
Everybody said that, and it's a struggle.
You know,
so why are we
everybody
surprised?
Said,
why are we
who's
despondent?
Surprised?
These people are giving up.
They're being realistic.
People are despondent, but they're not surprised.
Okay.
They don't think they're going to make it. They're not like sulking, or they're not. They're just saying, "Wow, four games to go. We need to win all four. We haven't won more than two all year."
You're not 7-5 because you're a shoo-in to be the player. You're 7-5 because you're a mediocre team,
right.
Trying to make in. That's what we are. So we have a chance. Don't give up.
People aren't really giving up. Fred. I mean, people are thinking they're probably not going to make the playoffs, but people aren't really giving up.
I think some fans are spoiled.
You don't think that we're going to have all these people writing in next week again? They'll be there.
They'll all be watching. They'll all be listening.
A very loyal crowd. You don't give them enough credit.
I'm not hearing enough spine from a lot of other emailers and callers.
You don't give our loyal listeners enough credit. They will be there, win, lose, or draw.
They'll be there if we win.
And if Donovan McNabb,
Fred's calling him out.
He is. And if Donovan McNabb needs to explain it to somebody, yes, there can be a draw. Whoa. Win, lose, or draw.
Oh, no, that's not good.
He won't be there.
Where's Craig? I don't know.
He's
anywhere.
He'll be there.
He's 6 feet under.
That's unfortunate.
I don't know where he is.
That was the saddest development of this year.
Well, at least we got
at least
to.
We
meet
all
him.
Got to meet him.
Yep.
I don't think he felt the same.
Reed writes in from the Cape, oh no, we suck again. Since the Steelers came into fight, he's too busy on the phone.
We suck again.
Talking to his girlfriend in there?
Do you not know where it is? He doesn't have a girlfriend. It's a boyfriend.
What? No, he's not.
How do you know?
Well, not that there's anything wrong
with
that.
How many buttons are you going to hit over there?
I don't know what that's called.
South Park.
You sure?
S-O.
Garrett... The guy who used to work
you
back there played. Gary used to play it.
Since the Steelers came into Foxborough and raped
phone?
And pillaged the Pats, I don't really
who
feel like.
It?
What? It's a Waterboy clip. What's
the Waterboy?
What's the.
The coach guy there, right?
No. The guy who's also in Gigolo, Deuce Bigelow.
Rob Schneider.
Anyway. Since the Steelers came into Foxborough and raped and pillaged the Pats, I don't really feel like talking about the loss. Instead, I'm looking forward to the next season.
perfect email for Fred's rant.
Because I don't think the Pats will make the playoffs because of all the losses they have to other AFC opponents. old Bill will have to have a good draft and good free agency period as well. So I was wondering how you feel about some potential free agents and if the Pats will pursue any of them, like running backs Brandon Jacobs and Darren Sproles, wide receivers T.J. Husman-Zada, Devery Henderson, Sean McDonald, right tackles Mark Colombo, Mark Tauscher. Defensive backs, and he names a bunch of defensive backs.
There's no way Brandon Jacobs is going to be available.
No.
Suck it, Trebek!
No way.
Okay. Now we're just playing random.
Oh, yes. No! We suck again!
There you go.
Apparently they're all under suck, and he pressed the wrong suck.
Right. let's wait to see who actually becomes a free agent
before we talk about free agency. A key for that, so you... You know, have some way of knowing.
Why am I going to use it a lot this year?
Well, drop-ins are an important part of this show.
You punch in a word and it comes up, but obviously there's two words, you know, suck.
Yeah, he's in the S's and he's right. suck, and he pressed the wrong suck.
Oh.
We have lots of sucks.
Well, you should make a suck key. So you know where.
It's sucky.
You know where the sucks are.
I wish I had a suck key.
You know where to get a suck, right?
This is classic BFW.
Everybody could use a good suck.
Gary was good at sucking.
Anyway,
Fred.
Yeah.
I don't think you're giving our listeners enough credit.
Well, I don't.
I want to get back to that. I think being realistic is not quitting. I think people will be right there watching that Seattle game. I think Barry was our gentleman.
In Seong.
He'll have his group on hand at Quest Field.
Let me tell you something. And,
they'll be ready to go, and they'll be wanting this team to win. And if it doesn't happen, they're looking for next year.
They're
worried about free agency
huge,
in the draft.
They're going to have a huge get-together in Seattle. They're expecting like 150 to 200 people at this tailgate.
It's a big game.
And it's about a half mile from the stadium. When they're done, they're going to actually parade en masse to the stadium. It's going to be a show of force.
Is there going to be riots?
There might be.
This is a big game for me.
Seattle fans take it seriously.
Oh, they don't know. They're drinking their Starbucks. They could care less.
I thought they were the 12th man.
They're very loud. They like doing that.
You ever been to Seattle?
But they're nice. No.
For a game.
I lived there in the mid-70s.
No,
not the
city. I've been to Oregon, but
so
I've
this
never...
is the first for you, too.
Starbucks was my idea.
Last one.
Yeah.
This is number 32. You cross off the list. I've seen every...
Then it must be the same for me, right?
I've seen everyone. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually crossed San Francisco and Seattle were the last two for me this year.
Who was on the
Joel.
Joel Merrimack. Joe, how you doing?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good,
hey, Joel.
I was just calling about Fred's little rant against some of the fans there about like jumping off the playoff bandwagon. I don't think all of us are off the playoff bandwagon because I still think we have a chance of making it in the playoffs. I mean, admittedly, it's kind of like the 2002 season. We got to back our way in, which doesn't bode well. But my biggest worry is even if we get into the playoffs, we haven't really beaten a good team this year.
It's true. That's true.
I mean, I think we can make – I think our best shot is Baltimore could drop two of those games. Yeah. They got two tough games between Dallas, Pittsburgh,
and Washington. They could lose two of those
fighting for their lives, so that's good.
I think they'll handle Washington.
I think their
harder problems are Dallas and Pittsburgh, Washington, especially.
Yeah, although I think they'll beat Pittsburgh at home.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough –
They
should
have beaten Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh.
That's a really good overtime game. But it's my biggest thought is even if we get into the wild card – who can we beat in the playoffs?
Yeah. I think the only
worry
chance
about that then.
The only chance for any playoff success is a Jets collapse and you somehow win the division because otherwise you're probably locked into the sixth spot and then you're going to play maybe a team that you could go on the road and beat, but you're not winning three road games in a row.
Weren't we sort of depending on Brett Favre in the 2002 season as well? We were depending on him to come out the second half and beat the Jets.
Yeah, well, the Jets killed them.
He didn't do it.
The Jets killed Green Bay that day.
Yeah.
That game wasn't competitive.
Yeah.
It's like 41-17 or something like that.
I'm hoping Favre will have the same kind of collapse somewhere, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Jets could. I mean, listen, the Jets are not used to being in the spot they're in. So if you want to hang your hat on something, hang your hat on games like Sunday when they lose at home to Denver.
Yeah, that's we killed Denver, and they completely collapsed at Denver.
Yeah,
I didn't get that game.
They played a terrible game. I mean, in retrospect, we talked about this in the press box. You could kind of see. I mean, they had a huge emotional win on the road against the Patriots, and then they went 10 days later with a big road win at Tennessee,
and
they probably felt pretty good about themselves and came back home against a team they felt they should beat, and they didn't show up. They got thoroughly. They were outplayed from moment one of that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess in retrospect, I didn't see it coming, but in retrospect, it's not hard to understand.
Yeah, I kind of saw the parallels between this season and the 2002 season. That was kind of.
Well, you better hope they don't continue all the way to the end.
Yeah, I know. I honestly think they could win the next four. Isn't the Arizona game in New England?
Yep.
Yes.
That I think really bodes in our favor.
Yep,
it does.
That's because big. If we got
except
bad weather,
they've already lost three games at home.
I don't see Warner and Bolden and them doing that same thing if we got a nice snowy, windy day.
Right, but you also then have to worry about what the Patriots would do offensively as well.
Exactly.
I think we can run. See, I think the difference is I think we can run against Arizona, but I don't think Arizona can run against us.
Well, I don't think Arizona will try to run. I think they'll throw the ball, but I'm not sure that the Patriots are equipped to run the ball in running situations. Let's put it that way.
You don't think so?
Not when they have to run and the other team knows they're going to run.
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right there.
Yeah, they've had most of their success spreading it out and just hitting some of those nice 10, 12, 41-yard gains.
Now, there were times, I'm not saying it was exclusively that, there were times earlier in the season where they did a good job. The Jets game in the Meadowlands in Week 2, they did a great job in the second half, just pounding it with Lamont Jordan. We haven't seen him since.
Yeah, is Lamont Jordan ever coming back?
Next week. He's not on IR. He's eligible. He's
how
getting
many
better.
Weeks ago did Belichick say that he was a
quick healer?
Quick healer.
I think we were in California when he said that.
I think so. I think that was. I think you guys were visiting the prison out there.
He's been day to day for 2.5 months.
I think before each game they go to his locker, they wake him up,
make sure
they say how you feeling, can you go now, and he goes back to sleep, and they put him on the list.
He's hibernating.
Okay, look, you guys, you have a great one.
All right, Joel.
Bye.
That's Joel.
It's so funny though, that, like these things, like when they sign Lamont Jordan. You know, everybody's excited. Well, he might be the most talented back. He can catch the ball. He can run. I remember he was saying, I'm a great route runner. I can line up wide. I'll show Randy how to run some routes.
And Andy has some out of sideburns.
Yes. And we all just eat it up and write these stories.
What's that, Metro?
That was good.
And then it
Andy
just,
did ask him about his hair and sideburns.
The media, it is a funny thing. What is like a big story and interesting at the time and then never ends up being anything. It's kind of like when Vince Wilfork says he redistributed his weight and we eat it up and write how he's being all healthy. It's a bunch of BS. Much of what we write is BS.
All you can do is go with what they tell you. Let's see. Warren is from the UK. He says, this is the best news I've heard in ages. He's talking about the Patriots going to London. Can't wait to see you guys over here. The UK Patriots fan club can't wait to meet up with you guys and show you what true fans are.
We'll be there.
London has got to be better than China. You will have all the time of your lives, just as long as you don't stay near the ground. What does that mean?
Huh?
We'll have the time of our lives as long as we don't stay near the ground.
Is the G big?
No, it's a small G. I don't know. Anyway, I also need help. Who is the head of the pro shop? I need their email address. I have tried calling, mailing them. They are a disgrace. No customer service. Shame one of them didn't go instead of Gary or Mike. Wow.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
Customer service at patriotsproshop.com.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
You just might like want to check to see if the email address exists.
Is this like the F-Corps?
F-Corps. Are the Olympics going to London, too?
Who?
12.
The next Olympics are in London, right?
Yeah, 2012,
Is this the place with the big Ferris wheel?
I don't know.
I've got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
One of these places has a big Ferris wheel right on the water there. Or is that Paris? It's either Paris or London.
Sure.
London does.
I'm not a worldly sort.
Are you going to ride that?
No.
I don't do heights. So
John in South Carolina says, bangers are sausages. See, if we had Eric around, he would have known that. That's what John says.
He's seen many a banger in his day.
Sergeant Rob from West Point, New York. Pat's in London, he says. While I am a fan of the NFL playing regular season games overseas, I don't want it affecting my team. At least the team will have the support of the UK Patriots. That's going to be one hell of a party. Pat's and pints in 09. I like it. Pat's and pints. And of course,
promoting drinking.
And of course, the league decides to do it right after I leave Germany and get stationed in New York. Anyway, you guys should start planning to hook something up with the UK Patriots guys for that game. Keep up the great. We will absolutely do something special.
We should. Like a Thursday something?
I'm thinking we should do one of our shows live.
Right.
In front of an audience, have a big party.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah.
Is Junior going to get to come?
I don't know. I don't know the details of this thing.
Are you coming?
Well, if we do it live, we'll have to have a producer.
Do it live!
You have to bring it. You have to bring adapters for all
those
plugs.
Thing sucks.
We'll do it live.
Do it live.
Yeah, you can't just jam it into the outlet like the traveling gnome.
You know,
the traveling gnome.
You ever seen that commercial?
No.
For Travelocity, the little wood thing that travels all around, and he goes to Europe and he just jams the plug in and it sparks up and he catches on fire.
Oh,
and he goes,
the fake. Yeah.
Am I going to die? That's a great commercial. You know, that's the most popular item in the Patriots Pro Shop. Patriots Yard Gnome.
I have to go to the Patriots Pro Shop.
Or one of them.
I sell them all over. Every store has those now.
Have
you guys done all your shopping yet?
Oh,
hell
no.
Really?
No.
I did some Cyber Monday yesterday.
I don't really get that phenomenon.
What?
Cyber Monday.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That's the day where
kind of
everyone says, uh-oh, I better get my orders online now, make sure they get here.
Well, what were you doing Saturday and Sunday? What are you going to do Tuesday? Why does it have to be Cyber Monday?
It occurs to everyone that you need to get that done.
I just from what it was like you can go shopping over the weekend because you're off, and then if you didn't get something that you still need, you go online on Monday, Monday.
I kind of agree. I read something where it's kind of stupid now because it started like 5 or 10 years ago when everybody had dial-up at home and high-speed at work.
Right.
So they would go Monday and at work because it was quicker and easier.
Yeah, but you can't do it because if you're ordering for people in your family, you can't do it at home.
Why not?
Because they could find out. They could check the history of the browser.
Well, if my wife's going to go through that trouble,
she could find out.
Probably be more angry at other stuff she finds than that.
No, but I don't know.
Oh, Andy.
I'm just saying.
What are you doing at home?
Strippers, can you wipe that record clean?
I just happened to do it some of it yesterday.
You should wipe something else clean.
That's what the sock's for.
Oh, jeez. That's a little bit too much detail.
What'd you order?
I'm not telling you.
Besides Tour of Duty 3 or
I'm not telling you. None of your business.
I've ordered a bunch of stuff. I was disappointed, though, because on the news they said, Cyber Monday's huge. There are going to be huge sales online, kind of like Friday.
Well,
stores.
It is better now than it used to be 5 years ago because now a lot of the places are giving you free shipping.
But that's the biggest deal. I want free shipping.
Free shipping. Well, they are giving you free shipping.
No, add that to the convenience of not having to go out in your car, spend money on gas, and deal with these psychos that run people over in Walmart.
That gas
and
thing
now
is overrated.
Now it is better to do it online.
I paid $1.68 this morning. Can we give up on the gas is expensive thing?
Well, it's still money.
It's cheaper than it's been in years.
And you're taking your life into your hands.
Well, that's true. You see the Walmart?
That's what I just said.
That's unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
That's unbelievable.
And after the person died, they want to clear the store up. People were yelling. It's not fair. We've been waiting in line.
I think they should ban all that Black Friday crap. Make laws against it. You can't open too early. You can't have less than X number of any item.
Let's just be civilized.
But we're not. We need people to civilize us because we're not civilized as human beings.
I need a video camera, Freddie. Do you have suggestions?
Got to go HD. You're going HD, I hope.
Well, yeah, but you're spending a premium.
$800 for HD. You can get
a 780. What do you need HD for? Because
it looks better. He's got an HD TV. Do you want Will to be all grainy or you want Will to be crystal clear?
$800?
Oh, well.
For a Christmas present?
A good one.
Well, for HD, if you're going to get an HD one.
Camera, yeah.
How about for a bad one?
Couple.
You could spend $300 on a decent.
Well, that's what I was figuring I would
say. Yeah, I like mine. I have a Hitachi with a hard drive and a DVD built, both. Big plan.
How much was that?
I think three something.
Yeah.
You should go
HD. So what
HD,
do I need
though.
HD for?
It looks
well,
better.
If you're showing it on your HD TV,
it'll
you
look way
take
better.
Advantage of
you got to get the HD. We know money is no object for
you. You've got kids. I might do that.
I would
no
go
object.
HD.
Do you think I'm Fred?
HD. Put it on a credit card. That's how this country got where it is.
Yeah, I have no credit card debt.
Seriously, though, try to find a deal on an HD one. You got to go HD.
What brands?
Sony's
good. Because I always think of
Sony
as being
good.
The best.
But you pay more for them.
Well, I don't care about that as long as it's good.
It's dependable.
When I said get HD, he goes, ooh,
well, you're
trying on a budget here.
No, but I'm talking, what's a Sony? $40 more than the Hitachi or some other brand?
Get the HD.
I mean, you're talking a difference of $500 or $600 with the HD.
You want to buy two video cameras in the next 4 years or you want to buy one? Buy one.
And this is already my second one, so.
Go HD. Get the Sony. Don't make
we
the mistake.
We got one when we got married.
Yeah,
and
but
it doesn't work anymore.
In 3-4 years, they'll have a whole new technology that you
want
to take advantage
of. HD's around to stay.
So Sony.
HD.
And give me some of the things that I need to
Let's
have.
Go over to Circuit City here at Patriot Place.
No.
I'd go this week, so you know.
Give me some of the things that I need to have with it, like some of the features
HD.
That I need.
Well, the thing is, some of them like have hard drives.
Right.
But then
Do
you
I need that?
I don't. Well, you got to. At some point, you either have to hook up your camera to your TV and play it right from the camera, or transfer it to a hard drive and play it on your computer. But then others have flash drives.
And they're all DVDs now, too. They
well, yeah, some of them.
Some of them
have, my old one was a tape.
Some of them,
you know,
had,
little,
see, I don't like sense. The DVD. Because, some of the DVDs you can write over them. You don't just
right.
use them once. But it can be expensive.
And the DVDs, at least the mini ones, don't hold a ton because they're smaller.
They don't hold
if you're
going to
make
tape?
A lot of movies, what you want to do?
What in the hell is going on?
If you're
going
to make a lot of movies.
This is what we do in December, Dan. You better get used to it.
After the biggest game of the year.
If you're going to make a lot of movies,
well,
what you want to do is you want to get one with a good hard drive and then get yourself the iOmega hard drive with the Patriots logo on it that holds up to 250 gigabytes.
Him, does it come in other teams?
No, then you can store.
Can I get that in the Giants?
No, then you transfer all the video from your camera onto your hard drive and you store it there and you free up the space on your camera.
People won't like this show.
Because you can't keep all the video on your camera. You got to take it off at some point or you'll run out of room.
Maybe I'll get that down the road.
So you get the Patriots iOmega hard drive available in the pro shop or online.
He's now essentially have you buying a new computer, an iOmega hard drive, you're getting a whole video editing setup.
And if you have a Mac, then you can
say you got to get a Mac.
No. I don't have a Mac.
So Beth wants one though, right?
A Mac?
Yeah.
No.
Most women want Macs.
Why?
If I said that to Deidre, she'd go, "What the hell's a Mac?" She would have no idea and no care.
I don't tell you what the difference is, to be honest with you. I don't know anything about computers. You know that.
But Beth does.
No.
She's smarter than you.
Yes. Absolutely, but she doesn't know anything about computers.
No.
She likes to click the mouse repeatedly to the point where it irritates me.
That's called thrashing in the tech world.
Oh, God, that annoys me.
She likes to click the mouse, eh?
Is that what you call it these days?
That's unbelievable. That's
and I
my
thought
wife.
Googling was the other thing.
That's my wife.
We thought Castle had a small one. All right.
Why did we think that?
That's because Wes Welker told us.
Oh.
Dermot.
I assume Fred been somewhere I haven't.
Dermot
one of those guy parties.
Well, if he was talking about Welkers, I would have known that Fred had actually been there.
Oh.
Been there, done that.
See now.
What?
That's terrible.
But
I'm really glad that I put that into the KSG newsletter.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done
Paul's.
That, Fred.
That was
you really
a great,
shouldn't have done that.
I said, I'm going to do this, and Paul's going to be so mad.
I actually didn't really even think you had done it. When I asked you about it, I didn't think it was you.
I said I did it.
I just assumed somebody went to BU in there, and they got it in like a newsletter or something.
I should have went with that.
That's how I
too
figured
late
they
now.
Found out.
No, I thought it would be a good joke.
Now I'm trying to figure out... Alex, you know Alex T? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Cientelis.
Cientelis, okay.
Cientel?
He sent me an email, and he said, I think that Jeff Fisher and Dave Cunningham were better. Those are two of the guys that I went in with. Now, he's a BC guy. How does he know who the guys were that were inducted with me?
That's funny.
Now, you couldn't have told anybody about that because you wouldn't know.
No. But he's a legal guy. Just research. He knows a lot.
He knows well, probably went to Google. They probably had a...
Well, it is on the website.
Yeah. That's funny. That's great.
It's been a very embarrassing morning for me.
Oh, stop it.
Stop it. I got Tip. I asked Tip how he's, how much more we can charge now for our article.
He
goes, start high. All I can say is no.
Dermot writes, and it's been a while since I emailed. I just sobered up after the Giants loss only to witness the disaster that was the Steelers game. Well, he is one of Andy's friends.
He's Irish. You know what they do over there.
Very well done.
And as my mate, who was also my best man, is a Pittsburgh fan, it made for a very unpleasant Sunday. So I'm tempted to just start drinking again. What is going on in there?
He just broke the new phone.
He's like tripping over wires.
What does that
what
say?
You just put something up in the window, two gender.
This just in.
Oh, this is from the newsletter. We're proud to announce that Paul Perillo was inducted into the Boston University Sports Hall of Fame on Saturday, November 15th. That's great.
He's just really not a good person. And it was not the university's Hall of Fame. It was a baseball Hall of Fame.
At the university.
But there's a difference.
Baseball's a sport.
Not there.
Well, yeah.
Not there.
Barely. So anyway, Dermot says, I'm tempted to just start drinking again, but I'm going to have to start saving up for a ticket to the London game versus the Bucks next year. Apparently 500,000 people in the UK tried to get tickets for this year's game between San Diego and New Orleans. So next year, it's going to be even more tricky to get one. Maybe we should get some tickets
and
give them away on PFW.
Seriously, we probably should do that. If we're going to have a big party, at least one set of tickets.
I'll effort that.
You talk to the owner about that?
A couple of observations since my last mail, which was about a year ago, if I may. One, I have found a newfound respect for Paul. I actually imagine he would be a good man to go for a beer with. And by a beer, I mean eight beers. His insight is top-notch, and his radio personality is far less grating than it used to be.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you catch that backhand on the way by?
Thank you, Dermot.
At this point, I imagine Andy has made a reference to drunks. For some inexplicable reason, people have stopped making fun of Andy. This won't do. So if I could get the ball rolling, Andy sucks and is a big girl. Three, Fred, the need to franchise you is far greater than that of Matt Castle.
Whoa, yes. Couldn't agree with you more there.
Regarding Eric, I have no strong opinion, much like the man himself.
Oh, yeah. Ask PFW didn't care for his opinions. You
that
see
was,
that?
Yeah, I don't care what that guy says, by the way.
Why, who was it? I don't even read the names.
I don't see the name to trample on his grave. He knows what he wrote.
I'm sure,
he's a big boy.
I'm sure it was accurate what he said.
No, he somehow was mad because Eric personalizes the responses to everybody.
And doesn't have an opinion.
Like he's only answering one guy.
I don't mind that.
No, I do that once in a while. Yeah. I don't do it with everyone. I guess Eric does it with everyone.
He does.
Use the person's name in there. I don't mind that.
I generally
I suppose
only
it
throw
could
it
be overdone.
Yeah.
I usually do it maybe once or twice.
Should they trade
that.
Or keep Castle, to me, is like a general one. But if somebody has a specific rant, I usually address them thinking they're one of the few people that actually thinks
Like the guy that said that Brady lost his zest for life in general.
Right. And if you're going to put yourself on the line like
going
that,
out with
I'm
Giselle, there's no loss of zest in life there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of zest there. I don't know what you the know, German word for that is, but there's a lot of zest.
No, I don't think there's any of that. You don't need to.
Do we need the German word for that?
Because German word for zest.
She's Brazilian.
That was my point.
She's German. She lives in Brazil. She's a but she's German descent.
That's where her
family's from.
Brazilian supermodel.
A lot of people from Brazil are from Germany.
Right, because that's where Hitler is, isn't he?
Don't they
believe he's hiding in the mountains down there?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that. I'm like completely stunned by that. I didn't know she was German.
Just so you know, I think it's 50-50. It's wrong.
Heidi Klum, I knew was German.
Right. But I like Heidi Klum.
She's really hot.
Is she from Brazil too?
No, but she's actually hot.
Oh, she's
like
hot.
The other one.
Giselle was born in the Brazilian town of Trade the Mayo.
She was born there, but her family's from Germany.
Well, my family's from all over Europe, but I'm American.
Okay. And grew up in Horizontina, Rio Grande do Sul.
So she is Brazilian.
Bunchen is a German name.
She is and has it.
Paul, you're Italian, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say I'm from Italy.
No, but you're Italian.
But if someone was describing
she's
me
from
worldwide,
Brazil.
They would say I'm American.
I'm not.
Not of Italian descent.
That's what
the
I said.
The town was once
German
mainly
descent.
Colonized
said
by Germans.
German.
She's of German
she
descent.
She said she was German.
Okay. I know she's not from Germany. I misspoke.
And
you misled.
And asking what the German word for something in relation to Giselle is misleading.
Because, Mike, I bet she doesn't speak German.
Well,
ask on my account what the Italian word is for something.
Yes, I would.
Why?
Because you're Italian.
I don't know Italian.
He's going down with the ship on this dumb one.
He's pulling a Paul Perillo is what he's doing. I don't care how wrong I am. I'm still going to argue
Giselle
with
is of German descent as you are of
see,
Italian
Fred,
descent.
If you keep that up, that's the grating personality that Dermot didn't like.
Well, no, less grating.
Right. Now I'm less grating.
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Oh, wait. Speaking no, first, Steven in Oregon's on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Steve, how you doing?
Hey, good, guys. How's it going today?
Good. I almost forgot you there.
Yeah, that's right. Gary hung up on me earlier. So
did he really?
Well,
no, that's when I knocked the phone over.
Yeah, he actually was back. Broke the phone. He's a clown.
I just had to wail on him because it's funny. So, hey, did you guys get my email earlier today, or did you not read it?
Did you read Steve's email?
I don't
Oregon?
Know. What email was that?
Why don't you recap it for us?
Well, I said that I was going to hope to go to the Seattle game because I don't know if I can ever get to Gillette with seven kids in my pocket. So.
Seven.
So, and then I got a kind of gift for Paul Perillo because he's my favorite PFW host. Not in a gay way, of course, or it would be Eric.
Sounds a little gay, if you ask me.
I'm a little bit. I guess I'm flattered, but I am a little concerned.
You'll like it, Paul. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with your favorite football player.
True. So
there you go.
I just thought it was a Miller Lite.
No.
So Steve, they're having a big get-together in Seattle about a half a mile from Quest Field. And do you have the info, Dan? You don't? I thought I gave you that info.
I told you to send it to me. You never did.
I sent it to you that day.
This is stuff that really should be done during show prep.
We'll get that. If you go to a F-Corps and go to...
what the F is F-Corps?
Barry,
here, can I talk to Steven a little bit more?
Hey, you know what? We got this thing in the family. Whenever we want to send each other a text message, we send each other a family update, so we put F-U in front of all of our...
family update. There you go.
There you go.
I like it. Seven kids?
Yeah. See what?
Yeah, Steve, seven I have one kids? Word for you. Contraception.
What for? It's so much fun.
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
It's still fun with contraception. Wait, how old are you?
I am 41.
41,
oh
seven
God
kids.
God bless you.
And what's the age range?
14 months to 22.
Really?
Wow.
You're just a glutton for punishment.
You should be a TV show.
Now, I don't want to get too personal,
that's
Steve, but
youngest.
Is this all the same wife?
Let's see. Two.
Oh,
two
okay,
wives.
Okay. All right.
Six and one.
Half dozen the other.
Yeah, okay. So what's the gap between the youngest? No.
Okay, who was not paying attention in class because I just said 14 months and 22 years old?
No. Between the youngest and the next oldest.
One Providence or something?
What? No, the 14-month, what's the next one on the list? Not the oldest.
Stupid dogs. Eight. 11,
so 8 years. That's a lot.
That is a long time.
It's a big
eight,
gap.
Not the other one.
One might say that's a big gap.
Yeah, 8, 11, 13, 16, 20, and 22.
Are they all Patriots fans?
The girls are, the 8 and the 11-year-old. They're big Patriots fans. They love it when I watch football on the TV whenever they show them out here.
But what's wrong with the boys?
Well, I'm guessing the girls like Tom Brady.
He doesn't really, he's not a big football fan.
Yeah.
He's more into the... he's more, I guess, an air type into the theater.
Oh, Steven. My goodness.
Wow, the poor kid.
he's very good. He does, like that show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? He does improv comedy.
Okay.
So he is like Eric.
He has no formal artistic training.
That is correct. Hey, do you guys think that, Castle in the second half started to get tentative with his throws because of the number of drop passes he was getting. It felt like he was holding on to the ball for just a little bit longer. That's why he was getting hit all the time.
I think it was more the pressure he was seeing.
I agree with the first part of it, not necessarily for the reason, but I thought he was bad in the second half. And
he started to get that deer in headlights.
Yeah, I give the credit to Dick LeBeau's defense.
He looked tentative, he looked unsure of himself, and he was off target a lot in the second half. By the way, the throw to Welker was about as bad a throw as you could get.
Right,
yeah.
He looks like the uncomfortable Matt Castle we saw in the preseason and early on in the regular season.
Oh, God. Welker got crushed. That was awful.
Yeah, that was not pretty.
It's a big hit.
All right, hey, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call, Steven.
Paula will meet you behind the dumpster.
Oh. You're just vile. You're a vile person. This is the guy,
seven
Fred.
Kids.
This is the guy who sits in my office on Sunday as we're waiting three some odd hours before the game. I have my computer shut down. My laptop is in my bag.
Inaccurate.
I'm watching the Colts-Cleveland game. Just sitting there, and he's running through some stats, crossing stuff off. I go, what are you doing? You're going to go up? He goes, yeah, I'm going up right after this. All right, let me know. Leaves my office. 20 minutes later, 25 minutes later, I haven't heard from Andy in a while. I go out. Everything is packed up from his area. He's up in the press box.
Unbelievable.
Leaves me.
That's not right.
You know Paul
just
doesn't like to go up early, so I just assumed he didn't want to go up early.
He just said he was going to go up with you.
That may not have been listening at that point.
And that wasn't early. It was 2 hours before the game. What can you do 2 hours before the game?
Is this the man?
He really is just playing random sound bites.
What can you do at Gillette Stadium in the press box 2 hours before the game?
I'm up there four
Eat.
Hours.
Right. I don't want to go up 4 hours because I don't want to spend more time with those people than I have to.
Plus,
those people.
Yes.
Oh,
he means you and Mark.
You're an elitist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can eat, and I'm a fat guy, so 2 hours before the game.
You don't eat the food there. You hate the food there.
But I always can find something like
the food was good on Sunday.
As a matter of fact,
the food was good.
Full disclosure, the food was good Sunday.
I had a bad piece.
The potatoes were actually cooked for a change.
Oh, yeah.
And the steak was good.
The steak was tremendous. I can't believe you got a bad piece.
It was a good meal this week.
A lot of fat on it.
See, mine was lean as could be, well cooked.
And it was cooked perfectly.
Mine was
perfect,
like
medium rare.
Steakhouse
a lot of sinew.
Caliber.
A lot of sinew.
Dan,
what's that?
They're not going to like this part of the show
either. You
pull
it apart, there's that piece, that string that's kind of like...
Would you call it
you
sinewy?
Must have got a terrible, terrible piece.
I think you just got a bad piece.
I did. I got a bad piece.
Speaking of bad pieces.
Ping Pong writes in.
Ping
Ping pong!
Speaking of a piece.
Ping pong!
What the fuck happened? The Steelers ran over us like an old rug. If nothing else, the loss will keep us eating that humble pie. I don't know if you have already talked about this because I'm in school and can't listen live, but do you think that it was odd when Bill didn't do anything to really help Light defend against the pass rush?
Yes.
This is the second time in recent memory that a team has defeated us by the pass rush. The other time was that game where Bill wore the red hoodie of doom. I think that in the offseason, Bill will really work hard trying to get his O-line performing to the best of their ability so that they can block those Dick's Sporting Goods
pass rushes.
Your thoughts. Keep up the outstanding work. And P.S., there is a gay kid in my science class, and it just so happens that his name is Eric.
Ping pong!
I think the difference between the Giants game and this game is blitzing. The Giants didn't really blitz. They just won one-on-one matchups. This game, I thought... they could have done some things on the outside to help Matt Light, but maybe he felt like Bill felt like when the score was out of hand, they needed to make some plays and couldn't afford to go heavy on the protection. I'm not sure what the reason for that was.
Stripper says a fun fact about London. About 25% of all people today living in London were born in another country.
Germany, many of them.
What's the number here in America?
I don't know. Strippers.
I'm going to go with 88%.
You got 4 minutes, Strippers, to get back with us. What number of Americans were born elsewhere?
Let's see.
Now,
Frank,
is that legal or illegal?
I don't know. Frank says, Paul, Sony without high definition in a Carl Zeiss lens is excellent quality and could be had for less than $350. They, well, say Carl Zeiss lens.
Yeah. What's that? Carl,
Carl Zeiss. Begins with a Z.
I think most Sonys have that lens.
HD is definitely better quality but substantially more money. Congrats on the Baseball Hall of Fame induction at BU. Do you know Bernie Corbett?
Yeah, very well.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's written a number of sports books and also graduated from BU and is the voice of the Terriers hockey as well as Harvard football. Bernie wrote some stories for me when I used to do New England
sports.
He's
quite the local sports historian.
Yes, he is.
Is he like Dick Johnson?
Yeah. Most of our listeners wouldn't know, but like Nesson runs these documentaries all the time. They did one a couple of weeks ago in the Harvard-Yale game. The first college football ever played.
Tufts?
No, it didn't really have a lot to do with Tufts, Andy.
It did indeed.
But it was talking about the evolution of college football, and Bernie Corbett is all over those things.
Everybody
looks
past Tufts.
And also he wants to know, have you guys seen the new sports site, Study of Sports? It's called studyofsports.com.
No.
No,
unless it's the Northeastern thing, the Center for Study of Sport and Society.
Oh, that's like
I've seen
race.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Richard Lapchick.
Yes.
Fred, I agree that it's much more interesting to follow the Patriots with the positive outlook regarding the players. They think they'll make it, but I guess we'll see. That's Frank.
Now, what did you think about the guy analyzing available free agents? Where does that fall on the spectrum of how fans are reacting to this season? You can't be happy with that.
What's that?
I knew he wasn't listening when I said it. Just go on.
What's that now? You know how, like, Jonathan, when you talk to Jonathan, he can have a full conversation going on the phone, but yet still hear everything you're saying to him?
Yes.
Fred can do neither.
Right. He tries to do both and does neither.
Kamani says the term is stay close to the ground.
I don't know what that means.
He's saying as long as you stay near the ground. Is that what he said? I don't know.
I don't know what it means.
It means that you get real drunk and hit the floor.
Oh, when we go to London, we were told to we'll be fine as long as we
stay away from the ground.
Stay away from the ground.
Stay away from the ground.
Right. Oh. Stay away from the ground. So that means don't get drunk and hit the floor.
Okay.
The beer in Europe has more than 25% the alcohol content of American beer. It's really good.
I won't be having 9 then.
Traditionally, 20.
I'll be having 2 and puking.
Traditionally, there's more of a fuller body than American beer. The cost of living is high there, though. It is. It's like twice.
Beer's not cold there. It's just not cold there.
Yeah, it's lukewarm, right?
Or like, and I won't be drinking beer.
So I can't get Miller Lights then, is what you're telling me?
They have Miller Lights.
You really want Miller Lite in London?
And that Ferris wheel you're talking about is called the London Eye. It's the Millennium Wheel at a height of 135 meters, which is 443 feet.
No effing way.
I've been on it.
It's the biggest Ferris wheel in Europe and has become the most popular paid tourist attraction in the United Kingdom. Visited by over 3 million people
a year.
There.
I've been there.
You rode it?
Rode it. Oh. Absolutely.
What if you call on John? He's dying to tell you he's been there.
Was it scary?
No, it was not scary at all.
Is it an enclosed basket?
Yes. Yeah, it's totally enclosed.
Still no way.
You're glassed in. I mean, you know, there's room in each little pod, if you will, for probably 15, 20 people.
Oh, it must be huge.
Yeah, it's big. It's big.
What is that? I don't know what any of these sound bites mean that you're playing.
That was you screaming.
I'm not going on it, so I won't scream.
I'll watch from the ground.
Andy, you got to do it. You got to do it. Come on.
Didn't you go in the arch in St. Louis?
Yeah, that's a solid structure. And I was a little uncomfortable at the top. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're probably just worried because you saw it crumble during the Fantastic Four Silver Surfer movie.
I did see that.
Okay.
That was on last night, actually.
Was it?
Yes.
But I mean, that's just, you know, that's not going to happen.
I hate heights. I get more than 5 feet off the ground. I get scared.
Was.
Yes.
Wow.
All right.
That's what it is. Fred, what am I?
John, how you doing?
I'm okay, fellas.
Yeah?
Just coming back from a overnight red eye from California.
You got your Friars jacket on.
Yeah, well. Yeah. It wasn't that great a weekend for them either.
No. Oh. What about Texas?
I didn't miss much, huh? Well, they got screwed.
Yeah.
They did get screwed.
They got screwed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, strippers, because I know he's going to call. He's going to write in. Yeah. And he's
gonna
Are you going to
swear today?
No, I won't swear.
I won't.
Because it's not even worth swearing
you should.
Over.
No, you should swear. It adds emphasis. It adds an emphasis.
No. It's not even worth it.
No, I mean, look.
They got hammered.
I think that the unfortunate thing on all this with this college football crap is these purists that say that if you put a playoff system in, the regular season wouldn't mean anything. And I,
that's,
for the
that's
life of me,
of
can't figure that out because right now the regular season doesn't mean anything.
No, it's exactly right.
It's all about when you lose.
That's exactly right.
And
if you lose early,
if Alabama loses to Florida,
you're screwed. Yeah.
Right. Well, if Alabama loses to Florida, right, they're out. Right.
Yes, more than likely, that is true.
Is that right?
No, it's not.
But if all these other one-loss teams have worked their way back up the pecking order.
You brought up a great, great point, though. People say that the regular season is rendered meaningless if you have a playoff. You're absolutely right. It means nothing if you can beat both teams that are in the Big 12 championship and not be there yourself. It means nothing. It absolutely means nothing.
Try telling Texas that the regular season means something when they're going to have beaten the two teams that are playing next year.
It means nothing. What I'm doing is I'm going to be rooting like heck, not just because Strippers is for, you know, an OU fan. I'll be rooting for Missouri because then Texas get a shot at the national championship without having even played for their conference title.
Yeah.
That will shoot all sorts of holes through the stinking BCS.
That would be interesting.
All right. Well, more of that talk coming up.
What, Fred? You mean there's nothing to talk about?
No, John. Who else is on your show today?
We have a guy from the Seattle Times coming on today. Okay. What's his name, Dan?
Danny O'Neill.
Thank you,
Danny O'Neill. Oh, Danny O'Neill.
Couldn't get Claire Farnsworth.
Know him well.
Claire Farnsworth.
He's good.
I don't believe I've ever spoken with him. No.
Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
Yeah, this guy's from the Times. That's a competing newspaper.
Okay, so maybe you get him tomorrow. Yeah.
Try it. We'll try it.
You know, all right. Well, Patriots Playbook is next. We got to go over to Neckin and do our TV show. We'll see you tomorrow.